Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Online, worldofwrestling.com presents your number one action and comedy radio show based around the world of professional wrestling. OWW Radio.
The King of Kings goes back on his throne.
The champ is here.
The Beast, the Man.
You gotta beat the Man.
Whoa. It looks like there's a new sheriff in town.
And man, is it about time.
And this is Dino Mirage. This is real. This is here. This is now. This is the second coming.
Now your host, Alan. What's his name? Wojcicki? Wojcicki?
Your house started to shake, the heavens opened up, and God himself spoke to you and said this.
Wojcicki, is it? It's Wojcik. Alan Wojcik. Do I really need to write this out for you? God.
Now, your host, Alan Wojcik.
And welcome to Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network. Also, our big sponsors, Click Wrestle, the official on-demand site of OWW Radio. OWW Genesis is our forum. If you happen to be listening to us live through wildtalkradio.com or owradio.com, we really appreciate you being here tonight for probably the craziest idea I think I've ever had as host of this show. Bug will be here throughout the evening, along with a cavalcade of stars, as they used to say back in the rock and roll era. Tonight's music is brought to you by the warped mind of Mr. Rob Zombie. And the reason that we have Rob Zombie on is because he was a favorite of the late, great Jeff Peterson. Now, if you don't know who Jeff Peterson is, don't worry, by the end of this evening, you will know Jeff Peterson, and you will probably love Jeff Peterson like a lot of us have done over the past 8 years since his tragic passing in 2002. This weekend is the 8th annual, it's amazing to say that, 8th annual Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup. It will be held Friday the 3rd in Brooksville at the National Guard Armory, 16386 Spring Hill Drive. And then Saturday night, we go up to the interesting neighborhood of Crystal River to the National Guard Armory up there at 8551 West Venable Street. You can find out all the information at fullimpactpro.com. If you're a member of the OWW Genesis board, it's listed there, floridawrestlingfans.com, wrestling911.com. This thing is all over the place, and we are honored during the first segment of this show, not only to have Spug with us, who is that is here for the duration, and he's a brave man for staying with us this whole night. He was looking at me going like online, going, "You're really going to do something like this?" And I said, "Yeah, why not? I've interviewed 15 of the 16 guys last year. Granted, it was all done through the internet. Can't be that hard." During this opening segment, we have two people that were actually involved not only in the creation of this event, but are also really good friends of Jeff Peterson. First, also on the line, will be the former promoter of IPW Hardcore, which is the promotion that the Peterson Cup was born in May of 2003. He's also the manager of the very villainous, oh, actually, I shouldn't say that. They're very nice young gentlemen when they're not cheating like crazy. And that would be the Hardcore Giant, Ron Neamey, joining us tonight. Thank you for being here.
I appreciate you having me on, Alan. I really appreciate you guys helping push the Peterson Cup this year, because it's always a special event, and it's always something that it seems like everybody's happy to rally around.
Absolutely, and it wouldn't be the Peterson Cup without the spiritual leader of the event. He's been involved since the beginning, and if you want to look up Jeff Peterson's best friends in the Almanac of Time, you don't have to go any further than the former Florida Unified Heavyweight Champion, and that would be Naf Tali. Thank you for being here with us.
Yeah, thanks a bunch, Alan, for having us on here tonight and push this event. You know, I'm really happy to come on here and spread the word on this event. So thanks a ton.
Let's take the time trip back a little bit here to before I ever even lived in Florida. Is I didn't move back to Florida from Nashville till 2002. And as I noted, unfortunately, in November, Jeff had already passed away from cancer. But Naf Tali, take us back, your initial meetings of Jeff, because if I remember right from hearing stories from you, Ron, and other folks, he is related to the ECWA promoter Jim Kettner, and I believe got his start with Jim Kettner. And from take it from there, how did Jeff even come to be a part of Florida's wrestling scene?
Yes, Jim is the nephew, or Jeff is the nephew of Jim Kettner. He and his family ended up moving down to the Holiday area, the Tarpon Springs area of Florida, which is a little bit north of Tampa. So he ended up moving to Florida with his family and wound up at the IPW training center, which was where I was actually training at the time with for the most part, Chaos, but other guys such as Jeff Bradley and Navy SEAL. And so Jeff came to Florida with a little bit of prior experience, you know, starting when he was 16. And, you know, so he was already well on his way to becoming the great wrestler that he was. And he knew it. So when we first started working out in the ring together, we kind of maybe clashed a little bit. You know, we didn't really see eye to eye because we were both basically, you know, vying for trying to be a top cruiserweight in IPW. And both of us wanted that top spot bad, and we both knew that the other person had a great chance of being that top guy. But, you know, eventually, you know, as all great friendships do, they always, you know, start with a little bit of, I don't want to say professional jealousy, but you know how that goes. But we would eventually become, you know, the absolute best of friends. We traveled everywhere. We traveled to Melbourne, Jacksonville, Crystal River. You know, we traveled, you name it, we probably saw it. You know, so Jeff and I, along with my other, you know, best friend in the business, Havoc, we traveled everywhere together. We were, if you saw one of us, you probably saw the other two not far behind, as Ron can attest. And we just started, you know, having these great matches in IPW. And actually, Jeff didn't start out as Jeff Peterson in IPW. Ronnie, do you remember Jeff's gimmick when he first came in?
Was it Richard Fitzwell?
Yes, it was Richard Fitzwell.
Richard, what?
Richard Fitzwell. Which was
I haven't thought of that in a long time.
Which was actually a gimmick that was mentioned to him by the Sandman on a flight. They happened to be sitting next to each other. Sandman thought of this ridiculous name. And then I don't know. I honestly don't know how Jeff ended up with it, but he did. Let's just say a flamboyant gimmick, if you will. And so he was doing the Richard Fitzwell, the Dick Fitzwell gimmick, in IPW when he first began. And he actually had some really, really, really great matches with. An IPW mainstay named Joe Long when he first came in, as he had, I think that was his first couple matches with IPW were against Joe Long at the Plumbers Hall, the VFW Hall, and Pinellas Park.
Before we let Ron or Naftali continue on, we wanted to add another person to the mix, and that would be a man who is at the 2003 event, which was in the old IPW WrestlePlex, was actually sitting near me during the show, and who knew a couple years later he'd be sitting behind a microphone calling it and be a part of the event for many years. He's been on the show before, and he is the voice of Evolve and Dragon Gate USA. He is Lenny Leonard. Thank you for being here with us tonight.
Thanks for having me. How's it going, guys? Doing great.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun.
I didn't think we'd be able to afford to get Lenny on here, being the big star that he is now, you know.
Yeah. Not bad for a guy in 2003 was sitting with us in the crowd.
Well, I just work for Trans now, Ron, so it's all good.
Oh, okay.
Well, then we'll have to talk later.
You work for Trans? What?
Hey, now. Let's try to keep this as PG as possible. Ron, you at this point when Jeff came down to work, were you booking with Devin Nash, or what was your role in IPW Hardcore at that time and your initial memories of Jeff when he came to the company?
Well, I was actually talking to Jeff a while before he even moved to Florida. He had found me on AOL Instant Messenger, you know, when everybody was still on there, and I think I still remember his name as being Jeff ECWA on there. And he had started talking to me about IPW and you know, talking to me about his uncle's promotion, which, of course, I was familiar with, you know, Jim Kettner, ECWA. And we kind of struck up a relationship on there. And I just figured he was a young kid or, you know, somebody that was just trying to talk to somebody in the business or whatever and happened to have a contact with his uncle. But then, I ended up finding out that he was training with Simon Diamond and you know, the veterans that were hanging around the ECW schools and shows. And when Jeff ended up moving down, I don't really believe I remember hearing from him then. And he just kind of showed up at the WrestlePlex like Nash said. And he was one of those guys that he broke in kind of the same way I did, at least when it comes to Florida. He was just, you know, he had no problem telling you he was going to be part of the deal, do whatever it took to be, you know, part of the deal, but also that he was going to be one of the best of whatever we were doing. He was very, very cocky. Some people thought he was very arrogant, but he was very determined and driven. And with me, that's always a hook. I can pick that up from anybody, you know, does this guy got desire-wise what it takes to, you know, to make it in the business? And Jeff was, you know, if the guys in the business were even just a fraction of the workers as far as, you know, what he put in the school, you know, out of the ring, what he did to make himself better in the ring was just amazing. And the guy just, you know, he ate, slept, breathed wrestling. That's all he cared about. And, you know, it was a pretty cool relationship as far as having him come down and kind of became the little brother of everybody in IPW. But the kid was tough as nails. You know, he was our little brother, but he beat the hell out of you just as quickly as, you know, you try putting on him. He was kind of a breath of fresh air when he came in.
I have a question about the cup.
Mm-hmm.
Why a cup? Why not a ceremonial smoking jacket or, you know, rubber band or something?
They're already doing the smoking jacket thing here in Augusta where I'm living now with the Masters, and I figured that just wouldn't work. NASA came up with a few ideas, and the cup just kind of won out in the Met.
And it's a nice looking cup too. Very nice. Doesn't look like a bowling trophy or anything. When they first unveiled it in 2003, we all kind of just stood there going, "Wow, that's
pretty
cool."
Yeah, it's not your typical. Well, but that was you know, IPW though too. That wasn't, you know, our tag belts and heavyweight belts and cruiserweight belts and everything else wasn't, you know, replica belts that you could buy off of, you know, WWE.com or back then WCW.com, whatever. They were actually belts made by Reggie Parks with serious money and serious work put into them. Well, the Peterson Cup is even more important than any of those belts ever were. And, you know, we're not going to nickel and dime it. You know, a big reason that Full Impact Pro and Sal and now Lenny, you know, and the guys that are running Full Impact Pro are so involved is because they have the desire and the drive, but they also have the resources. Being honest with everybody, the Peterson Cup is an extremely expensive event in both time, money, effort, and everything. And there's nobody in Florida that's going to put that type of time, money, and effort into it like FIP. That's just, to me, that's case closed. And there's a lot of people asking why. RV are hosting in the past and why they're hosting again. And my answer is always, if we're going to do this thing, we're going to do it right.
Oh, no. I'm not trying to make a mockery of you holding an event for your friend. I think that's fantastic. I wish more of that would go on. I'm just kind of making a joke. It seems that everybody runs a Memorial Cup or everybody runs, you know, some kind of cup event.
I think that it probably all goes back to, you know, the first one was really the Jim Crockett Senior Memorial Cup back in the 80s with the NWA and Turner and those guys. They ran that tag team tournament a couple of years, and I'm sure all of these tournaments really look to that event as the forerunner to all of these things. So that's probably why every one of these that you see is a cup of some sort.
Yeah, but I kind of
like
go with
super,
I
like the Super J Cup in Japan as well. I mean, cruiserweight tournaments are all pretty much born from the Super J Cup. But again, the Peterson Cup has extended past just the cruiserweight. I mean, we've had some big guys in there. That just it has a hell of a lot more to do with a certain division in the business. You know, but
you had
the
Bruce
style
Kent
that worked.
Well.
Oh yeah, we got Bruce and all that Eric in there. You know, there's been some big guys in there that again.
Well, Cabana and CM Punk. I mean, they've been big guys from the very beginning.
Well, there's a lot of guys that the first time the fans in Florida ever had a chance to see several of the name talent that's out there now, or some that have come and gone, was in the Peterson Cup. You know, they got to see, you know, Delirious, Homicide, Colt Cabana, CM Punk, Matt Stryker. I mean, I could go on literally forever. And the first time these guys were seen in Florida was on the Peterson Cup. And we've had some of the best, and we've had some of the craziest, if you want to bring up Teddy Hart. You know, I mean, that guy was, he was as crazy as he was good. You know, but he was great. When he was in the ring, the guy was phenomenal. And people in Florida got to see him because of the Peterson Cup. It was awesome.
Yes. For now, Polly, unfortunately, I know this is near the anniversary of his passing, but from stories that you've told me and other people have told me, that when he got his diagnosis, amazingly, he still got back in the ring. Was that just Jeff's desire to do that, or was Jeff trying to say, no, I'm not going to let this beat me? Was he trying to show off again, like Ron's saying? He had this aura sometimes of arrogance. What in your mind, what do you think was Jeff's motivation to keep going?
Well, when he got sick the first time, he just thought it was a cough. He thought it was a cold. And his last match before he was diagnosed was with Mike Sullivan in Homosassa Springs at this biker gathering. And he let it all on the line. You would have never known that he was sick at all. And as soon as he found out, you know, he was sick, he didn't, you know, the wrestling was his life. That was his life, and he didn't want to give it up. But eventually he became too weak and couldn't train, couldn't do anything. So he understood. But when he kicked it the first time. And he was right back in the ring, you know. He was bothering, you know, Ron and I, and trying to get back into the ring at the WrestlePlex. And he ended up having a match up in ECWA up there, and very, very well received. So he was well on his way to recovery and to becoming a star again. But you know, the last time when the cancer came back, it just came back so quick. And, you know, he didn't have a chance to kick it the second time.
Now, you talked about that match with Mike, and it was before my time, but I remember Mike telling me a story about that night. And just to illustrate the kind of kid that Jeff was, didn't know how sick he was, went out there, and Mike said he could see in the locker room Jeff just wasn't right. He was obviously sick. Mike wanted him to take it easy, have a nice quick match and go home, and Jeff told him, no, we're going to do this, we're going to do it right, and went out there and tore the place down and, you know, got back to the locker room and was just completely spent, and Sully just couldn't believe that the kid who was that sick was able to go out in front of the people and have the kind of a match that the two of them had, and that right there, for anybody who knows Jeff, just epitomizes in a nutshell just how tough that kid was.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, if people could go out there and have the type of match at 100% what he had at 50, we would all be witnessing some incredible matches. That's no lie. He went out there and was sick and had an absolute great match, tore it down, and next thing you know, he's sick.
And unfortunately, as I said, it's a difficult subject that I don't like to broach, but to just give the fans a perspective of who Jeff was and everything, to either Ron and Naftali, since you guys were on the inside of the promotion at the time, from Jeff passing till May when the event was established, the 16th and 17th of 2003, how soon after it did the birth of the Peterson Memorial Cup come about? And who is actually the person to pick the 16 folk? Because as Ron outlined, it was a who's who of the indie scene at the time.
It was pretty much, I mean, I'll give credit where credit's due. I mean, NAF, you know, pretty much came up with, we all brainstormed a lot when it came to IPW. I mean, from the TV to the the smaller shows up to the biggest shows, there was a lot of, minds that were put together for some of the best and some of the worst stuff we did. But when it came to the Peterson Cup, NAF, it pretty much hatched the idea and, came to me and I ran with it. At the time, I didn't have really anybody that was really, really smart to what was going on around the country other than Scoot Andrews, and Jet Jaguar was pretty up to date on who was who. And there wasn't as many, I guess what you'd call name independent guys on the scene back then as there is now, but we went and got the absolute best of what was out there. And I mean, the people that were turned down and turned away would blow people's minds. There was only 16 spots, and I basically put an invite out there to what I thought was a select group of guys. And I figured if I got just a percentage of them back, I'd have this sick field that we could do something with. Well, not only did I have all of them wanting to come in, I had all their buddies and names that I didn't even think of, approaching. We're all of a sudden like, man, I want to be part of this. This is something special. It's going to be a big deal. But Jeff touched so many lives that, everybody just wanted to get on board. And the thing, as far as I'm concerned, has grown every year. Everybody always says, how are you going to top it? And every time I think I'm going to be absolutely let down, and I get blown out of the water every year because the talent just gets better and better.
Yeah, Ron has this crazy ability to just get the absolute best talent to come down and want to work for him. I wish I had that, because he just gets the most incredible guys to come down and be like, yes, I want to work for you. And that combined with as many people as Jeff touched just made for an absolute incredible first year. And then from there, it just seemed like this was definitely the event that people wanted to be a part of. So, I mean, Ron's ability to get people here definitely helped.
And Florida was very heavy with, let's not forget back then, the cruiserweight talent in Florida at the time, too, at that time, was just, again, off the charts. I mean, I brought in X amount of guys, but there was so many that I could fill out the field with that some folks might have said, oh, they're the local guys. All of a sudden, it smartened people up to what was going on with people like, Roderick and Cedric and Naff and the list goes on and on of guys that we were kind of spoiled at the time, to be honest with you. It was a who's who, and you could do anything you want. I don't think Florida right now is as cruiser heavy. There might be a lot of small guys, but not legit trained athletes that are going to make it in the wrestling business. I don't think we have that luxury down there anymore.
And it's funny to look back at that roster, because in 2003 in that tournament, as you said, you had Roderick Strong, who's the current ROH World Heavyweight Champion, current WWE superstar CM Punk was there, Cedric Strong, who will be involved in the FIP World Tag Title match on Friday night. You had Colt Cabana. You had Sage McKee, who was Mikey Tenderfoot, and we all know what Mikey did to Teddy Hart in 2004. We love you, Teddy, but you're a dumbass. So, as you said, Ron, and then let me get Lenny involved in here, because as I said, for the 03 event, you were a fan, but by the 04 event and forward, with the exception of the 1 year you and a softball base had a disagreement, you pretty much have been the voice of this event. Is this the one event that you look forward to each year to call? I mean, is it, you called world title matches for ROH, you've called Dragon Gate and Evolve, and then on pay-per-view, but put into perspective as a fan watching this event in 03 to the magnitude it's become in 2010.
Yeah, it's always special, not just because it's a great event and there's great wrestling to be seen, and it's always good to be a part of a great wrestling show, but just because the way Jeff touched everybody, like Nap said, that he came in contact with. I didn't unfortunately get to meet Jeff until after he was already sick. So my time knowing him was pretty fleeting compared to everybody else. But even in that short period of time, he made such an impression on me that, there's no way I would miss these events for the world, no matter what. It's a great time. It's a great cause. We always do, a lot to help out the community with these shows, from kids like Bailey Dunnigan and everybody else that we've raised money for, the American Cancer Society and Tammy Hamoy's name last year. It's just an amazing weekend every single year, and just to be asked to be a part of it is very special to me. So it's something I always look forward to. And every year it seems that these events are just a springboard to the careers of, if not the guy who wins it, but a couple of guys who are in the tournament usually break out and take off, whether it was, Sanjay Dutt and Chris Sabin, the year they tore the place down, whether it was, the first year of Cedric Strong going to the finals against Reckless Youth and then ending up in the Super 8 as a result of that. It's just every year somebody really steps up and seizes this moment. And that's the kind of guy that Jeff was. He seized every moment he had inside the wrestling ring to show how good he was. And I think this year is going to be no different. We've got a ton of guys who are looking to really make an impression and use this weekend as a springboard for the rest of their career. And to me, that's exciting, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, in the past, this event has had an international flair to it. You had Milano Collection AT win in 2006. The following year was Chris Hero. In 04, you had Jack Evans and Teddy Hart. In 05, you have current WWE superstar TJ Wilson. How much, to Ron or to any of the three of you, on an international level, have you ever gauged it to see what effect this event has had on the wrestling scene? Have you had folks that have toured over in Japan or overseas that have seen one of the guys wearing a shirt going, oh, I know that event?
I don't want to slaughter his name, but I think Naftali is familiar with Maso Hori, I think it is, H-O-R-I-E. He's just this longtime diehard crazy wrestling fan from Japan that has been smart to IPW and then, particularly the Peterson Cup since its inception, and has always been a big proponent about spreading the word. The thing is when you're talking about getting people in from Japan or Mexico, when it comes to, again, the finances and the paperwork and everything involved, to get them in when you're trying to donate all the revenues to a charity, it's really not feasible unless somebody just, Milano Collection AT was in the States at the time. And Jack and Teddy are just totally insane, and I don't know if they came by dog sled or what they did, but, those guys were just a different breed. If there was younger talent from Japan that were here and available, I would be jumping all over it. If there were some that offered to come, we had a deal worked out. Matt, you might remember this, but there was something I had worked out with Simon Inoki and Dave Marquez years ago, where one of the Japanese guys was supposed to be coming in, and then they held me up at the last minute for, plane tickets for five photographers that were supposed to follow him and all this other BS.
Oh,
you know, at a moment's notice, I dumped them. I mean, I didn't even think about it. I said, you're out. You know, I don't care. And I should remember who that is, but I can't for the life of me remember who the hell it was. And I still, to this day, I meet with, you know, some of the screwballs that we're involved with setting up that deal and then trying to swerve us by taking, you know, literally taking money out of the pocket of, at the time, that was donating the monies to specific kids, not even just all Children's Hospital or American Cancer Society. The, you know, 2 years we had specific children that we were donating all the money to. So, you know, you'll meet some of the best and you'll meet some of the worst people while dealing with cool charity events like this. And in all honesty, while dealing with wrestlers, you know, for every Jeff Peterson that was out there, there was 100, you know, complete dirtbags. But every year there's 16 guys that come in there and put it, you know, they put it all out there for us. They do everything they can to put on the best show possible and to put on a memorable show. And now because of, you know, FIP, Sal and Lenny, and we still got guys like Naff and my buddy Aaron Royal and that involved, there's so many different options and avenues to see the show and to support it, whether it's DVD or streaming video or whatever. I think Peterson Cup's just going to get bigger as the years go on.
To Lenny, because as mentioned, you have a different perspective than Ron and Naff would, because they're involved in either matches or just in the locker room during the show. But as the voice of the event, I'm going to put you on the spot. I kind of did it to you the last time we did one of these interviews. If you could pick 2, 3, possibly 4, in your mind as a fan, of the best of the best of these tournaments. You mentioned Saban and Dutt to close out the 05 event where, I mean, they went off a loading dock out of the Brandon All-Stars gym, but of some of maybe like opening and second round matches besides finals, are there any matches that stick out in your head that if someone was going, well, I want to know what the Peterson Cup's about, these are the 4 or 5 matches you would label it?
God, it's tough to put my finger on just one. I thought Eric Stevens and Brad Allen from, I think it was 2008, if I'm not mistaken. Was that 2008?
Yep, that was the final of 08.
I thought that was a tremendous performance because it was, people had already really gotten to see Eric on a bigger stage down here in Florida, but it was really the first opportunity to see how good Brad was. And that whole weekend, I just kept shaking my head, wondering, you know, what the guys in the WWE didn't see in him. Because to me, he's a guy who has everything they're looking for. He's got great size. He's got a good build. He can talk. He doesn't, he's a big guy, but he doesn't wrestle like a big guy. He can move like a light heavyweight. And that weekend to me really opened my eyes to a guy like Brad Allen. Again, like I said, Sanjay and Chris Sabin, from 05. Was absolutely tremendous. That, to me, may have been the best finals out of all of them. I thought Mikey Tenderfoot and Teddy Hart from back in 04 was unbelievable as far as the match that those two guys put on. And business issues with Dragon Gate and Evolve aside, Davey Richards' weekend last year, every match he was in was unbelievable and worth the price of the DVD alone. Say what you want about him as a businessman, but as an athlete inside the ring, the guy is just absolutely incredible.
To Naftali, every year you're involved, you give one of the most heartfelt speeches that anyone could ever imagine. And also traditionally, even when you worked in other genres of personalities, you still tribute Jeff. How difficult is it for you to be a part of these events? I know it's with the 8 years, but is there a point in your head where you're sitting there and thinking, oh, I want to do this weekend, but I can't do it emotionally anymore, and Jeff's in your head going, no, you need to do this, because if you don't, I'm going to kick your ass.
To me, I just... Jeff meant so much, and you know, I learned a lot from him and took a lot from him, and I just want to share that with everybody in hopes that everybody else will take something from him. Because if everybody treated you know, everybody like that, we would all be, you know, much better. So if, you know, I just want everybody to understand that he was a great talent and what a great person he was, in hopes that that will instill something into other people. You know, yeah, it is very, very difficult for me to go out there and talk before the shows. Sometimes I very, very difficult to just not break down. But at that time, I just imagined Jeff laughing at me, trying not to cry. That's exactly how I feel that, you know, that situation's going on. And, you know, but as I mentioned last year in last year's speech, and Ron, you'll probably agree with this one, is as you said, he seemed kind of cocky at times. I'm surprised he actually did not try to run a Jeff Peterson Cup while he was still alive.
Yeah, that's actually true. I mean, Jeff was the best. He one of the things I fed off of with him was his confidence, because he'd sit there and tell us, you know, how what we were doing, even though he was part of it, just didn't compare to ECWA or the Super 8. And then he did, in the process, try to pull every single one of our guys up to the Super 8, you know, driving his uncle nuts, until he finally take a look at guys. And Jeff was pretty much the pipeline of ITW talent going into the Super 8. You know, I give him all the credit for that. And, you know, I'll be honest with you guys, a lot of what we do with the Peterson Cup, some of it is a little, you know, a little bit selfish, too. I mean, that's, I get to come down there, and whether the show is this huge, enormous success or not, the truth is I get to get with guys that I spent the better part of 10 years with, literally grinding it out and doing everything we could to make it in the business. And some will say that we didn't make it. I believe a lot of us did, just by what we put into it and a lot of the work ethic, I think, that we have was picked up by having guys like Jeff around. And it's cool to come back and, you know, use this stupid old term, but get the band, get, you know, back together and hang out with the boys and have fun for a couple nights, and all of it in the name of Jeff. It's pretty cool. And I honestly, I don't see it maybe once a year now that the majority of us get together, and it is the Peterson Cup. That's the only time we all come together.
And I do have the Peterson Cup for that, because, I mean, like Ron said, if it wasn't for the Peterson Cup, there would be guys who I would never get to see on any sort of basis. Jet Jaguar loves to come out to this event, you know, and hang out, and I love me some Jaguar, but I hardly ever get to see him, you know, so this is a perfect, I don't want to say excuse, but it's a great reason to come out and hang out and see everybody who you know, it's almost like a family reunion at this point. You know, it's the once a year family reunion get together, where you get to see some tremendous wrestling that you won't see anywhere else.
So the only regret I have when it comes to Bill Meat, the only regret I have when it comes to the Peterson Cup after this many years, and I don't want to put a guy, you know, on the spot, and I'm not talking bad about him, but I have done literally everything in my power to get Mike Quackenbush in the Peterson Cup. And while we're pulling one Chikara talent after another, I just can't get Mike in. And the matches that Jeff and Jet and Mike had in Crystal River were just unbelievable, legendary stuff in that area. And in Florida, for, you know, they're doing stuff that nobody was doing at that time. And before we're done doing this thing, which I hope is never, you know, I really want to get Mike Quackenbush in the Peterson Cup.
Before we let you go, Trug wanted to chime in with one more question.
Now, we usually ask this. We usually ask this question of interviews. It's a standard stock question, but I'm going to specialize it a little bit, and either one of you can take it. But the best rib that you ever saw helped pull, or whatnot, was Jeff Peterson.
Nap, you would know that better than I, because, I mean, he was just on, he was constantly razzing you. I mean, it was just nonstop.
Try to keep it PG-13, Nap.
He stole my car one night at a show. we were in Melbourne, and he had an early match, and I had a late match because, you know, I'm a main eventer, or I was wrestling... Or is it because I was wrestling Jamie Noble and he was the main eventer? One of those. So Jeff asked for my keys to go put his gear away. So I was like, yeah, sure, no problem. I come back from my match, get dressed, go out to get my car, and my car is gone. And I'm flipping out because I'm like, I have no clue where my car is. Then I realized Jeff is gone. So I'm even more going crazy now because I'm like, he stole my car. So he comes back like nonchalant, you know, just like, hey, what's going on? I was like, what the hell, Jeff? And he's like, I was hungry. I went to go get something to eat. I'm just yelling. I'm like, well, like, what are you doing? You couldn't ask, you know, what's going on? He's like, oh, I was hungry.
No, that wouldn't be like Jeff to ask anyway.
No. You're just like, I'm going to take your car and leave without asking. Yeah. Jeff loves ribs. There are some that I cannot tell for sake of his legacy. He loved ribs. Stealing my car, that probably got me the hottest out of any rib that would Jeff.
And at this point, I have to cut in because we are against the clock here. If you're not busy this weekend, come to Brooksville or Crystal River. You'll be able to meet these gentlemen.
Even if you are busy, come.
Yeah, screw the football games. Come watch wrestling. It's this Friday, this Saturday, FullImpactPro.com. I want to thank Ron, Naftali, and Lenny Leonard for joining us here. Coming up after the break, we will get into the talent pool of this. The opening interview will be with a repeat offender to the Peterson Cup. The anarchist Eric Cannon will join us. Stay with us on All My World of Wrestling Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, with the advent of geek culture becoming mainstream, we here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are doing our best to capitalize on this phenomenon. In that vein, I, Mace, a co-host of Otaku Talk Live, have decided to move a small section of what we would talk about on OTL to its very own podcast. That podcast being Fashion the Book. Now, what you will hear on there is myself going through select readings of this week's comic book, and I just let you know what's going on. So, every Thursday, maybe Friday, maybe Saturday, you'll be able to hear me talk about comic books. Okay, maybe boring, maybe not, who knows? The only way you're going to find out is to go over to the archive section of wildtalkradio.com and download the show and have a listen for yourself. That's Bashing the Books, somewhere near the end of the week, right here on wildtalkradio.com.
This is the Ultimate Warrior! I am taking time from my job delivery pizza for Papa John's to tell all the little model warriors out there to tune into this radio program from the 7th moon of Raxor in the Gaxan Galaxy! Congress on Talk Radio! This show is on during the apex of the sun and the dark side of Saturn, otherwise known to the masses as Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time Zone. Or when the WWE or TNA pay-per-viewership finish and the Warrior stands supreme over the fallen victims of X-Lax. So go, puny masses, and listen to the show, because the power of the warrior commands you to do it. Now the warrior needs to go and deliver this meat lover's pizza to the mortals that ordered it.
Website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indies, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're upset with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, news, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Nick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best known internet writers we all know today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage,
Brett Derry. Janice Michelle.
Christy Hemming.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Woogerman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson, Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith.
Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site for pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Who is this irresistible creature who has an insatiable love for the dead?
...900, whatever number. Tonight, if you want to call in, it's either on the Skype network by Skyping Sir Rockin', two words, or you call 267-297-1397, and you'll get access to the next few gentlemen that are going to be taking the trip here to Florida this coming weekend. The first gentleman to grace us with his presence is a repeat offender to the Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup, is a former IWA Mid-South heavyweight champion and has held other belts throughout the United States. And if you happen to watch Wrestling Society X back in the day, he was a part of that show too. He is the Anarchist Eric Cannon. Thank you for being here tonight.
Hey, that's quite the welcome. I was hoping you were going to leave out that WSX stuff.
Oh, I got it. I got to throw it in there just so certain people know about it. As much as every time I see you, you go, we talk about it, and you go, oh, God, horrible. Horrible memory. But it's there. Yeah, but you're in that DVD set no matter what you do, dude. You're always going to be a part of season, the first and only season, I think they refer to it as.
Yeah. No, I can't. It was a great experience, and I had a lot of fun in L.A. with those guys, so.
Yeah, for the last couple of years, we've done print interviews for this event, and you're always one of the first to step up and go, absolutely, let's talk here. But take fans through the mindset when you get that phone call or that email. Going back to the initial trip here, how much did you know about the tournament and Jeff himself?
Anytime I get an email or a phone call for a booking, like, is always a bonus because it's an opportunity to do something that I love. But for the Peterson Cup specifically, I never met Jeff. However, I had been watching a lot of East Coast Indies before I broke into the business. So that's where my connection to Jeff came, because I was watching a lot of his matches that he had with Mike Quackenbush. So while I never met Jeff, he was certainly a hell of a worker, and everything I've heard about him is he was also a nice guy. So I feel that I missed out by never getting to meet him, but it's a privilege and an honor to be invited into the tournament one time. Not to mention, this will be my third year doing the JPC, so I'm always looking forward to it.
Yeah, unfortunately, lost last year to TJ Perkins, but as you had mentioned in our pre-interview thing there, one of the best hairstyles in Peterson Cup history is worn by the Anarchist.
Yeah, that's right. You know what? I also lost to Milano Collection the first time I did the Jeff Peterson. But on the bright side, he actually became the eventual winner. So you take the good with the bad, I suppose.
Yeah, and it's a little weird to be in the ring with that gentleman. I mean, the guy comes with an invisible dog named Michelle.
Yeah, and I'm actually allergic to dogs, so, like, that's, you know, double-edged sword there.
You're not the only Chikara person in this event that we'll be talking to, but take fans through just the process of being a part of that promotion on and off over the years, because if you look at all the indies that are out there, it's definitely one of the more unique companies.
Chikara has certainly created their own niche in the independent wrestling market, and they're doing great things. As negative as the press for professional wrestling always seems to be, Chikara's never attached to that, and that's because they gear a lot of their shows towards kids, which is something that a lot of other indies don't necessarily do. Like, not that there's anything wrong with that. Everything seems to have its place amongst indie wrestling, but Chikara's kind of created its own place in wrestling, and it's always a pleasure and a privilege because the guys and that crew is such a well-oiled machine that everything runs so smoothly. It's very fine-tuned, and I can honestly say I've never had a bad experience with Chikara.
Now, you're talking about Chikara, and I remember watching a short promo that Danielson had done after a Chikara show in Detroit a few months back during his time away from the Fed. And he had said I came out here and I kicked I forget who his opponent was, and he said he kicked him as hard as he could, and that was still PG. Do you think that wrestling today, whether it be the indies or fans, try to latch on to the Attitude Era too much of wrestling back in the mid to late 90s and early 2000s and forget that the product in the ring can be just as riveting?
I don't know if the fans are reaching out to it or clinging to it too much, but more so I think it's just what they know. During that time frame, the Attitude Era, ECW was on TV, and that's what people knew. Like, wrestling was had such a boom back then that even people that didn't watch wrestling knew what was going on, because you couldn't help but take notice of what was going on in the world of wrestling. And I think that with the PG rating and gearing things more towards everyone rather than the actual wrestling fans, actually alienated people. When you hear a product for everyone, it's harder to appease those people that are actually wanting to be into the product, or at least that's how I feel. So I watched wrestling during the Attitude Era, and like, I can't even remember the last time I actually sat down and watched a full program on TV of professional wrestling, because it just doesn't interest me anymore. That may be just me personally, but I think that wrestling needs to stop gearing itself towards everyone, including people that aren't wrestling fans, and back towards the fans of wrestling.
Would you like to see wrestling take on a more psychology based approach, as it did, say, back in the 70s and the late 70s and early 80s, and what I feel was the true heyday of wrestling, as opposed to the shock-based value of the Attitude Era?
My pocketbook and my body would certainly love to see that, but as far as entertainment goes, I don't think we'll ever go back to that. I know in some territories around the U.S., the wrestling is a little bit more old school in that sense, but I just don't think that it'll ever go back to something like that, even though that would be, I think it'd be great for business if it was able to go back to that. You had people that wanted to cheer a bad guy, or rather cheer on the good guy and boo the bad guy, whereas now the majority of wrestling fans sit there and wait to be impressed. And, you know, like, that's why people are getting hurt. That's why wrestling continues to evolve into craziness piled on top of more craziness. So,
which actually leads me to a chat room question from Jersey Girl wants to know, who is the toughest wrestler you have ever faced in your career? If you can name one or two or possibly three.
Yeah, that's a tough question. I think I'd probably say Bryan Danielson, Chris Hero, guys like that were definitely not only tough opponents in the ring, physically, but also mentally too, because guys like that, they just bring so much to the table. You know, to say that they've studied their craft would be an understatement. You know, and then you could throw a guy like Mike Quackenbush in there too. Quack's coming at you from every angle, and he's got a hold from every one of them. So, you know, guys like that push the envelope creatively are also they make it harder and tougher to stay on pace with them in the ring.
As mentioned, you're a former IWA Mid-South Heavyweight Champion, and Steamboat 87 wants to know, do you miss IWA Mid-South? For fans that aren't aware of it, the promotion unfortunately folded a couple of years back, even though it tried to have a revival.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Ian and IWA Mid-South were really good to me when I first started traveling and when I first was breaking into wrestling. So of course I can't help but miss it, but everything that's good, you know, it also has its cons and its negatives. So it's sad that IWA had to close up the way that it did, but yeah, I don't know. I miss it and I don't, but I guess that's another story for another day.
Your first round opponent is someone like yourself who has been in this event before. Now would be former WWE developmental star Brad Allen. How much do you know about Brad? And actually, some Florida wrestling fans have been on the boards already and have said that the winner of you versus him is a definite finalist in this year's event.
Well, I've only actually been in the ring with Brad on two occasions, and both times they were in multiple man matches, so I didn't really have to focus too much on Brad, nor did he have to focus too much on me, so I'm actually looking forward to this match. However, clearly Brad can't be that good. I mean, he did get fired, right? So maybe I've got to breeze through the first round. I don't know.
I love that.
Maybe that was a cheap shot in my book. Who knows?
I love the smack talk. Oh,
there'll be plenty of it. This is just the first of the interviews. We've got six more of these guys. By the end of this, we may have restraining orders. We may have matches in airports before they even get down here. As mentioned, you've been everywhere. What is your favorite promotion overall? So, see, you look at the roster. You've been in Combat Zone. You've toured Japan as part of Dragon Gate. With the cheap plug, you do have First Wrestling, which is your promotion. But outside of that, what would you consider to be your favorite promotion of any that you've competed in?
I think if I had to narrow it down, it would probably be, I always enjoy wrestling at Chikara, I've been doing a lot lately with Dragon Gate USA, and those are the couple of promotions where I go into it, you know, trying to think of new things, trying to be creative, because all the guys on the roster are doing the same thing. There's that extra push where you may not find elsewhere. So I always enjoy wrestling for those companies, and it's because of the talent. The talent is always pushing the envelope, and you certainly don't want to be left out of the loop on that. So you work harder at those places, and I enjoy that.
And he is the Anarchist Eric Cannon. He will be at the Peterson Cup both nights. bring some money. He's got great merchandise that you can buy. He's got DVDs. He's got shirts. I don't know if he's got any buttons or a podcast, but we appreciate you being here. Have a safe journey, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
I can't wait to get to Florida. It's only 17 degrees here in Minneapolis, so I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, I just have to say, I don't know if you're a fan of them, but F the Golden Gophers, go Buckeyes.
You know what? Go Buckeyes.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's 75 here right now, dude. coming up after the break, he is a former campus legend, he is a former WWE developmental star, and a 2008 finalist. Brad Allen will be joining us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. We'll be back after this break. That was cool, dude. I'm sorry it was...
The Million Dollar Man.
Paul Pogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Woogerman.
And tomorrow,
Peter Wilson, Natty Neidhart,
Harry Smith,
Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the thanks for pros you. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Back on Level of Wrestling Radio. 267-297-1397 is the way to join us tonight. The 800 number has taken a vacation for a little while. I think it's ticked off about the BCS. I know our next guest is a big fan of college football, and if we have the time, we may get his take on the BCS. He is a former WWE developmental star. He is a finalist in the event that we are talking about here tonight. He was a finalist in 2008. He unfortunately lost to Eric Stevens, and last year lost in the opening round to the gentleman who is actually currently the FIP World Heavyweight Champion, Jon Moxley. You may have seen him in WWE Developmental as the campus legend. We know him as Brad Allen. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Hey, thank you, Alan. How are you?
Oh, we're doing a lot. We're doing wonderful. Overall, this is your third event, but for fans that have read the print interviews that you and I have done over the last couple of years, this event means a lot to you. But for folks that haven't read our interviews, explain to them why this Peterson Cup event means so much to you.
Yeah, well, I mean, other than the fact that it's a prestigious wrestling tournament, period, bar none. Cancer in general means a lot to me. My mom was diagnosed with cancer back in 93, given a 6% chance of living. She ended up fighting through that and surviving. I didn't really know Jeff personally, but I know of what he went through and everything like that. So, originally when I was fired from WWE in 2008, this was the only tournament and the only show that I actually asked to do within my 90 days. What's that?
I'm sorry, I dropped out on you there. You're making your point. I apologize.
Oh, no big deal. Yeah, well, I don't really know what you caught, but...
But it cut out right as you were talking about this is the only event that you asked to do in the 90-day no-compete.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I got you. It might actually be my phone because this is we got a pretty bad flood storm up here in North Carolina, so
oh,
it might actually be me, but yeah, it's getting pretty bad. We got a flash flood watch. But anyway, yeah, this was actually the only tournament and show that I asked to do within my 90 days because I saw how important it was and how prestigious it was and saw all the stars that have been in it prior. And I'm just lucky enough to have been invited back for a third year in a row. I'm not sure how many people have actually done that, but I'm looking forward to it. That's for sure.
Now, as mentioned, you competed in WWE Developmental as the campus legend, and how much of that and how much of the Brad Attitude character is still out there when Brad Allen hits the ring?
Brad Allen's pretty much just a name change. Brad Attitude was my original character, and that's pretty much the real me. The Campus Legends is just a character that's pretty much me turned up 100% all the time. I went to a lot of colleges. I did the college life for a long time, and still on occasions do the college life sometimes. But yeah, that's pretty much just me. I mean, I find that the best characters you have are just you turned up a bunch, just so the crowd can see it. So that's pretty much how that came about. Is it's just me, and I found a way to vent that character into WWE Developmental.
We are interactive on the show. If you're a member of our Wild Talk Radio chat room, feel free to ask questions such as Steamboat 87 wanted to know, are you in touch or still friends with former WWE Developmental current star Nick Nemeth, who fans may know as Dolph Ziggler?
Actually, yes. I'm in contact with him almost every day. He sends me either a stupid text or a joke or something along those lines. But I'll tell you this. Once you get fired, you really know who your true friends are and who is either a friend or an acquaintance. And I can pretty much count on one hand the actual friends that I have. And he's on top of that list. We talk pretty much almost every day, if it's not just a simple text or something stupid that's going on. But yeah, I definitely still talk to him a little bit.
I have more questions about college football than I do about actual wrestling, since he's a college football fan. So.
Oh, yeah, he is, because every time he came out in Developmental, he had on either an Appalachian State jersey or
hold on.
Others that I was just like, where did you get that?
If he's an Appy State fan,
that's Appalachian State, by the way. Let's keep that clear. That's Appalachian State.
I just have to get this off my chest.
Oh, no.
Because this is coming from a Buckeye fan. Thank you for giving us something we can hold over the head of Michigan for the rest of our natural lives.
as much as I would like to take credit for that, Appalachian State did good. Unfortunately for you, though, I am a big Miami Hurricanes fan. So I absolutely hate Buckeyes. And I hate what you did in 2002, and I hate you for it, actually. So
you can't blame us, because The call on the field was wrong. It was not pass interference. It was defensive holding, and it still would have given us a first down right there at the spot on the goal line.
The call was made by an Ohio State alumnus. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Oh, wow. We're going to go there. Before he goes there,
let me ask this question, because I've had this conversation a couple times at live events with Brad. Are you in favor of the continuation of this BCS stuff, or is it enough's enough, let's get it playoff going?
I absolutely hate the BCS.
Yes.
I'm from Appalachian State. We have the Division I AA National Championship every year. We won it 3 years in a row. It's the only way that you can actually find out who's the best. You're not going to lose that much money in Division I with all your bowls. Everybody's just, the schools are being selfish. The actual bowls, the companies around the bowls are being selfish. And to actually find a true national champion, there's only one way to find out, and that's through either an 8-game playoff, 16-game playoff, something like that.
Yeah, because I'm from a basketball school. I'm an alum of St. John's University, and I was there 92 to 96. So every year, they were in the tournament. So I'm just kind of trying to figure out. It's okay for my friends to miss school to go for a nationally televised multi-billion-dollar tournament, but you're telling me John Q. football player can't miss because, academics are important.
Yeah.
Oh, here's the thing. Yeah, There was 119 Division I teams, and I think it was like last year or the year before they added Western Kentucky, and so now we have 120. It wouldn't be hard to turn this into 12 10-team divisions and take the with everybody playing a championship game, every division playing a championship game, and taking those division winners into the playoffs. And make a Division I player. It really wouldn't be that hard. But I will say this. You still have to contend with Youngstown State down there in Appalachia.
Yeah, we got that. We always got the Montana Grizzlies who are at the top of their game most of the time. We like to think that the playoffs actually start Saturday here at home. I'm going to be missing it. For good calls, of course, down in Florida, but I'll make sure next weekend when we win Saturday that I'll be at the home game next Saturday.
I want to ask you this though. I don't know if you've seen the news the past couple of days, but next year TCU is going to the Big East. Boise State is moving into the Mountain West, who was originally going there to join up with Utah and BYU, and BYU is going independent and Utah is moving to the Pac-10.
Yeah,
why couldn't the Big 12 extend invites to them since Nebraska and Colorado are leaving and fill the slots of Colorado and Nebraska?
World Peace next? Come on, Fug.
I have no idea why a team from Texas is going to be in the Big East anyway, or why you would move from any conference to the Big East, because since Miami and Virginia Tech left, it hasn't been worth anything anyway. But, I don't understand. Boise State's finally moving into a conference worth something, and then everybody's leaving. I don't get it. A playoff system would obviously figure all this out, and you wouldn't have the small dogs and the small conferences never getting a shot. And I've always been a big proponent of Auburn and Oregon, as long as they went out making it, and Boise State not having a shot, which obviously they proved last week, and they couldn't anyway, so.
Mm.
I guess it will all work itself out in the end, as long as we have to deal with this BCS stuff anyway.
Yeah. Before we let you go, your opponent on Friday night was the interview before you, and that would be the anarchist Eric Cannon. And he kind of hinted that you're a great talent, but you can't be that great because WWE fired you. Response?
Is that what he said? Well, I was too busy to even listen to his words. In fact, I would rather watch the season finale of NXT Diva Edition tonight than listen to what he has to say.
And we know the spoilers. We know that Caitlyn won. Congrats to her. We're happy for her.
Yeah, congrats, I guess, goes out to that. But anyway, as far as that goes, I mean, at least I was talented enough that they hired me. And they probably haven't even gave that kid a second look. So, I mean, that's what you there. And I don't really know a lot about anarchy, but it's going to have to be stopped on Friday night, obviously. And maybe he can find a way to back up his words on Friday, and we can actually meet face to face.
We'll find out at the Brooksville National Guard Armory. The bell time is 8 o'clock. Doors open at 7:30. You can go to fullimpactpro.com for all the information. OWW Genesis, our forum with Online World of Wrestling, has all the information as well. We will probably be talking to you again when we get to the bowl season. We may actually call on you to become our bowl analyst instead of schmucks like Joe Shad or those guys on ESPN. If we can finagle with your agents and stuff, we'll try to have you back on.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I mean, if your price is good enough, I'll talk about anything.
Excellent.
Oh, and we'll see you down in Miami next September, because next year we're going to be 2-for-2. We got Randy Shannon fired this year, and we're going to send you Corey Harris out the right way next year too, baby.
I have no idea who's going to be our coach now, but we'll see the punishment in Denver, I'm sure.
All right, coming up after the break, funny enough, we just had one former WWE developmental star. We'll be back with former WWE developmental star Christopher Gray here on Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup night on OWW Radio.
This is Mate, the overworked co-host of WrestleTalk Radio, OWW Radio, Otaku Talk Live, the Offside Producer, Cindy's Cleaning Boy, Building Diana, Advertising Guru, Bugs Bong Holder, Drink Runner, Omega's Transformer Record Keeper, and Back in the Book, all here on WildTalkRadio.com. If you decide to listen to a show that features a bit of the old-fashioned ultra-violence, people getting their heads kicked in, bones broken, and bloody crazy fights, then come on over and listen to Tap Outs to Knockouts live in the archive section of WildTalkRadio.com.
Mate, it's not all about the bloody stuff and the ultraviolence. Hey, this is Fuzz from Tap Outs to Knockouts. And if you want to hear the news, results, the technical side of MMA, check us out on WildTalkRadio.com in the archive section. And oh yeah, we do have the bloody stuff.
And now I know.
And knowing is half the battle. Hey! What are you guys doing in here? Get back to sleeping. This is the original voice of wrestling, Tim Stein. Catch me talking sense about the WWE, TNA, and the rest on the real voice of professional wrestling talk, WrestleTalk Radio, Sunday night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back on Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network, WTR Productions. that I'm going to call in throughout the night is 267-297-1397. Or if you're a Skype user, you can Skype Sir Rockin, and he will take your call. This is a night where we celebrate the 2010 Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup, which is this coming weekend in Brooksville and Crystal River. And our next guest, as mentioned with Brad Allen, is a former WWE developmental star. He competed in the 2008 event, losing to Sal Rinaro. Recently, he was a former FIP World Tag Team Champion as a member of the British Lions and also competes for Pro Wrestling Fusion, which is an NWA affiliate. We welcome Christopher Gray to the show. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. Are the dogs sleeping, or are they running around the house right now? Because if fans have never been to Christopher's Facebook page, he has got two of the cutest pugs that you'll ever want to see.
Yeah, the boys are in bed at this time. They better to put them to bed early, otherwise they would have been.
They're not watching NXT like Brad Allen was. He's like, I don't even want to listen to Eric Cannon. I'm watching the girls.
I didn't realize anybody watched NXT.
Now that's an interesting point I wanted to bring that we were going to bring up with Brad, but we ran out of time with him. Being that you were in developmental for a couple years, if this NXT format had existed during your time, do you think you would have enjoyed going through that process, or would you have thought, I want to just build my way onto the roster a different way?
I think I would have. It's a great opportunity, especially with the half the talent that they actually used on the show was useless in the ring, and I'd have used that to my advantage to just keep them alive. But, I mean, I think any way you can get your shot and you make it on TV, I think then it's your job to make your impression. Sometimes you get the set gimmick or something like that, but I think with that next show, everybody kind of was able to go ahead and be themselves, and I think that would have probably benefited me, especially for my matches, for sure. I just like that opportunity.
Now, there are people that are in the company right now that you competed with in developmental. The one name that is a fan on this network, namely because our Australian friend Mace does a interesting impression of him. But what are your thoughts on Sheamus as a competitor, being a former two-time world champ and most recently winning the King of the Ring? Are you proud to say that you know him and have been in the ring with him, or are you sitting there going, that's rubbish, that should be me?
Yeah, I mean, no, I don't envy any of the boys. We were all in the same boat, and I think Sheamus always had that look and gimmick he carried about him where he was always going to make it to TV. He was he's unique, and everybody can see that for themselves. And the match he had on Raw with John Morrison, I thought for me was probably one of the best he's had in a long time. He actually wrestled and showed that he's not just a big Irish monster. He's got skills too, and I think the same goes for the rest of the boys. Wade Barrett, extremely good on the microphone, and he's holding his own in that top spot as well. I don't envy any of them. I'm very proud, especially of the English and Irish and Scottish boys. I think it's great for wrestling as a whole just to get, that European influence back on TV and that little bit of a different style, especially now with Regal and Finlay, their careers are dying down. I think it's excellent that somebody like Sheamus has a top spot, and he certainly worked for it.
We brought up NXT, and Jersey Girl in our chat room is a fan of the show. Wanted to know, if you had been a part of NXT, who would you have wanted as your pro? Would you have liked Lord Regal? Would you have liked Dave Taylor if he was involved, or any of the current people?
I think, yeah. It's probably a pretty predictable answer, but for sure, perhaps Dave Taylor or William Regal or even Dave Finlay. I just think knowing all three and having wrestled with them before, I think an opportunity to be on TV with them would just be beneficial to to just be with them on that and get that kind of respect, because I mean everybody knows guys like Finley, Taylor, and Regal are wrestlers, and I think, you know, to make it through a show like that with one of those as your pros, I think that's almost like instant respect with the audience, and that would have helped anybody.
You on and off have been a singles competitor and a tag team competitor, and unfortunately your normal tag partner, Tommy Taylor, looks like is leaving the business due to obvious personal reasons. Thoughts on him as a partner and as a friend?
Tommy's my brother, and despite what happened to Full Impact Pro, we entered the business together. We have wrestled all over Europe together. We achieved the dream, so to speak, of getting signed together. But to be honest with you, I think I prefer wrestling Tommy in singles. I think we certainly bring the best out of each other, and I don't think we ever got the proper opportunity to show the state of Florida or the rest of the United States what we could actually do in the ring. I think we missed out a little bit. I'm very proud of Tommy and what he's going on to do. He's his wife is pregnant, and I think it's a very good reason to leave the business. I think he achieved all he wanted to achieve, and now he's moving on to be a family man, and you know, I wouldn't expect anything less from him. He's a good man, and I consider him a brother.
I'm going to guess by the accent that you are from Scotland. So forgive my ignorance. But
no problem. Nothing but expected.
Ooh, well.
Wow! I was just about to give you major props.
All right, starting with the Scottish insult. That was good.
I was guessing by the accent. Like, I have family from overseas, and I have friends from overseas. It wasn't an insult to you being Scottish. I have the accents are real similar, and if you call somebody one thing and they're not that, they go off. So I was guessing, and I said, forgive my ignorance, because I was guessing by the accent. But
you're forgiven. I'm English.
But coming from overseas to America, where wrestling has sort of become a mockery over the last 10 to 15 years, as far as the public perception, maybe not on the indie level or even to the hardcore fans, but just the public perception is wrestling has become a mockery, and you have areas like Japan and Canada and Mexico and Britain, where it's still a very important tradition to those individuals. Do you find it hard adapting to the American style at all?
Not really, to be fair, because I think the American style has become very cultured in of itself, with the fact that they do kind of draw everybody in, with the fact that the WWE is based in the United States. I think they do, you know, they bring in talent from Europe, they bring in talent from Japan and Mexico, and recently they did actually pick up a few of the indie guys who thrived in Japan, and I think brought a bit of that style. I think the American style has kind of been blended with everything that else that is available, so I don't think adjusting was an issue. I just think that here it's a little bit more entertainment based, especially at the top level. So for me, I always try to get, I think I tend to leave or not put as much emphasis on wrestling during my matches as to trying to make sure that the people are involved and the people are enjoying the match. That's one thing that I think differs from me wrestling back home and wrestling here. I definitely think it's more of an audience participation thing, whereas back home in England, a lot of the entertainment that the crowd got out of it was simply for the wrestling and the hold for hold or catch as catch can style that's done back home. But I think that with the amount of wrestlers that are based here, I think everybody travels to Japan or Mexico and picks up new things, and I think America has kind of blended everything together and kind of has a bit of everything right now.
We are interactive here on our show in our chat room. Steamboat 87 wanted to know, of all the folks you've been in the ring with, who would be the toughest? He wants to know if Roderick Strong is one of the tougher folks you've been in the ring with.
Yeah, for sure. Roderick Strong, every time I wrestled him, I'd have to skip chest day at the gym for a week, let it heal up. Roderick's pretty good at dislocating your jaw as well, let me tell you that. Yeah, for sure, Roderick Strong is one of the toughest I've ever had to wrestle, but it's certainly an honor and privilege, and I think he deserved that world title that he recently won. He's definitely one of the best.
How much do you know about your opening round opponent, Jigsaw? Because he looks to be one of the more enigmatic folks you'll ever see.
Yeah, I remember watching him from last year's tournament and also at some of the Full Impact Pro shows. He's a wiry little bugger, but I think that I can use his lankiness to my advantage by, you know, perhaps tying him in a few knots and keeping him on the mat.
At this point, we are against the clock, so we must move on as much as we don't want to. You can come out. Doors are at 7:30, but there's a real nice intermission that you can interact with the talent and get photos, and you can talk with Christopher Gray over the whole weekend. Coming up after this break, we will have another interesting gentleman, and that would be Grizzly Redwood here on Online World of Wrestling Radio, right back after this quick commercial break.
Good call. True pain and suffering were brought to them all. Away ran the children to hide in their beds, for fear that the devil would chop off their heads.
Professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indies, yeah. All this and more can be found on one site. The Zero Set, whenever they wrestle. Head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's worth away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Big Fiction,
Nick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best known internet wrestling stars today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today,
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christine Hayes,
Brett Derry, Janice Michelle,
Christy Henry,
Jay Lethal,
Brett the Hitman Hart,
the Sergeant Slaughter,
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man,
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time,
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Woogie,
and tomorrow,
Peter Wilson, Natty Neidhart,
Harry Smith,
Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site that throws you online world of wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Hi, this is Christy Annie, TNA Knockout.
I'm out here because I have something very important that I need to say.
And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Well, if you do have to say about it, then say it to my head.
Requiem Eternum, Donna A. Domine.
It looks like that's Wallace, not A.
Requiem Eternum.
Welcome back to Online Willow Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network, and online, willowwrestlingradio.com, onlineworldofwrestling.com. Everybody's got plugs. We'll plug a whole bunch of stuff when we get to the end of the show. Thanks to everybody for joining us here on the Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup edition of this program. And we are blessed that we've got such a diverse group of folks for the 2010 event, and they don't come more diverse than a man who competes in ROH. He's competed in Chikara, he's competed in Full Impact Pro, and he was trained by 2003 Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup competitor CM Punk. He is Grizzly Redwood. Thank you for taking time for us tonight.
Hey, man, thanks for I got to correct you right off the bat. I was trained by two-time Ring of Honor World Champion Austin Aries.
Oh, my goodness. So that means our site is wrong at OWW. That's horrible. We will definitely correct that. Well, let's go into something real quick here, because we got a couple emails from folks that had said, no, that's not Grizzly Redwood, that's Mitch Franklin you're going to have on the show. And I'm like, no, his information says Grizzly Redwood. What are they talking about, man?
Well, Mitch Franklin's a buddy of mine. Unfortunately, when I went up to UConn to find myself to really find out where I fit in wrestling and in life, he came with me, and he did not come out of the woods. I don't know where he is.
Now, talk about Austin Aries, because he is one of the more unique competitors in wrestling, being the former The Austin Star with TNA, and he's had a different persona around the way. But take us through day-to-day, what was Austin like for training? Because we heard about incidents that have gone on with tragedy with wrestlers, but what was your experience with him?
It was incredible. I say it all the time, man, but it's just a fact. I want to train that experience for the world. I was lucky enough to have a guy like Rhett Titus in my class, and I think we really fed off each other. And Harry's is great, man. That's like, you're not just learning from a wrestler, you're learning from a guy who can do everything in wrestling, man. Like, this guy, one of probably the most underrated wrestlers in the world, in my opinion. But it was great, man. You know, they would start out with about 45 minutes of running. We had a pond behind the school. We would go sprint behind the pond and do laps around it. And then it was, 15 minutes of stretching, and then you get to work. It took about a month to get in the ring. But when we did, man, it was tough. And it was full on go, man, full speed ahead. It was awesome.
Now, I just have to ask real quick, with your buddy Mitch Franklin, you weren't in the woods in Georgia, were you?
What's that?
You didn't go into the forest in Georgia, did you?
Georgia? No. UConn, Canada.
He didn't meet anybody, you know, that played a banjo or made people squeal like pigs?
There's no deliverance going on in Grizzly Redwood's woods. Only tree tops.
All right. Just wanted to make sure, because you may have to get Burt Reynolds and go look for him.
Oh, goodness.
I don't know what Mitch Franklin's doing, but it ain't delivered.
Fair enough.
Now, this isn't your first time to Florida. You've competed in FIP, specifically in both Brooksville and Crystal River. Talk about these fans as opposed to ones that you've seen in other indie promotions.
Other indie promotions, the fans aren't, you know, they might be into a match here and there, but they're not invested in anybody that's wrestling. Fans in Florida, fans of FIP, they get into every match because they care about the wrestlers that are in the match. And it's great. I love it. They let you go out in the ring and have fun, because if you're having fun, they'll react and have fun right back with you. That's why I love going down to FIP.
You're not the only person that's been in Chikara. We talked with Eric Cannon about it, and we'll definitely talk about it with Lince Dorado in the next segment. But how does a a lumberjack fare against some of the more interesting characters that Chikara has in the, on their roster?
What's more interesting than a pro wrestling lumberjack? Come on. I think it's a great fit, man, and I'm happy to be back there, I believe, full time now. I think I'm feeling good. There's a lot of guys there that I mesh real well with, entering and out of, and it's a blast. I think I can hang with any wild character they may bring to me. I wrestled ice cream, man. I wrestled ice cream.
I just want to know if you have the beard.
Oh, yes, he does.
Yeah. It's a bit trimmed. It's a bit shorter. But, of course, I can't imagine that having a beard.
Because I think you should get a T-shirt that just says, I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay, and I would totally buy one.
I'm going to hold you to that.
I would totally, if you made it in a hooded sweatshirt, I would definitely buy it then and wear it all the time.
I know Brian Danielson at one point when he was on the Indies had a really heavy-duty beard, but, I mean, yours is nowhere near that out of control, is it?
Not anymore. At one point, my beard was probably, man, it had to be over a foot long. It was big. It's not anymore. Now it's trim and chain and not crazy looking. I don't get looked at nearly as funny when I try to go over to Canada.
Do you end up having trouble with the TSA with that with a beard that way when you're traveling through customs and whatnot? Are they going, can you please detach the beard, sir?
No, but they will stop us. I've got to stop several times because I look kind of shady with the beard.
Would you say your beard rivals that of Chuck Norris?
Oh, watch out now.
Now, I think it does, and I think that then was better than Chuck Norris at one point. I don't think Chuck Norris has anything on Dizzy Rebel's beard. That's not a knock on Chuck Norris. He's a very close number two beard.
Ah.
There you go.
Yeah, one of our chat room residents, name of Amy Simons, wanted to said she's a friend of Chance Profits and wanted to say, hey, what's up? Thanks for watching the Phillies game with me in Franklinville. Okay, that's an interesting reference. Are you a baseball fan at all?
I have been a huge baseball fan, specifically Phillies fan, my entire life. I love baseball.
Yeah, you just made our tech producer Sorokin pop like crazy. He is a resident of Philadelphia, and he gave me crap because the Yankees got eliminated this year. And I was like, yeah, you went real far too, tough guy.
You know what? You know what, man? They just played a game that was playing the Phillies didn't stop me. That's just for that. I was also thrilled when the Yankees were losing. I'm going to give them credit on that. That was satisfying.
Now, I'm going to ask, because you said you were a huge baseball fan. Baseball's talking about expanding the playoffs to include more teams. Are you in favor of that, or do you like the current format?
Ooh.
I think they need to expand the playoffs. They need to shorten the season a week or two, because I think the playoffs go way too deep into bad weather.
Would you like to see them go back to maybe 142 games, as opposed to the 162 that they play now?
Yeah, you know, even like 10 games less, anything to save a week or two. Especially if you're going to add an extra playoff game. Because, you know, I don't want the World Series played in November or December. Nobody does. Nobody wants to play baseball in November or December, especially up in the Northeast. It's freezing.
Before we let you go, your opponent in the opening round announced is Rich Swan. How much do you know about him, and are you going to be notching your log with his name?
There is not a doubt in my mind that I'll be notching my log with his name. I plan on showing Rich Swan if you guys saw Dragon Gate USA or not, but he turned down the tutelage of one Austin Aries. I took that a little personally. It's led me the wrong way. I'm going to show him for a little bit of where you can learn from such a great wrestler like him. has to be more than enough to pin him for the 1-2-3.
He is going to be there for both nights, we hope. Hopefully you're not in the mindset of going, yeah, I got to get back to the log cabin on Saturday. So even if I advance,
I'm in the tournament to win. I'll be there both days.
That's what we like to hear. A lot of the fans are loving hearing stuff like that. He will be there this Friday night, 7:30 doors, 8 p.m. bell time. We'll give you all the ticket pricing information later on in the show. We thank you so much for stopping by. Coming up after the break, we mentioned Chikara, the Golden Lynx of Lucha Libre. Mr. Lince Dorado will be joining us on the other side of this break. OWW Radio will be back. Looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans? Then look no farther than the official forum of OnMyWorldOfWrestling.com. OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forum. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions. As well, there are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown. It's the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forum, OWW Genesis, right now at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team, and you're listening to me on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network, which is wildtalkradio.com. We're also brought to you by owradio.com, brought to you by Click Wrestle On Demand, and some other sponsors we'll get to later on. Number is 267-297-1397, and if you are a fan of Chikara, Dragon Gate USA, ROH, Jersey All Pro, and Full Impact Pro, this gentleman you should know, and if you don't, then where have you been? He is known as the Golden Lynx of Lucha Libre. Lince Dorado joins us on the show. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule for us tonight, sir.
It's all right. Thank you very much for having me on this fine evening.
And I'm a lot warmer than everybody else seems to be. I'm sitting in Florida with a temperature of 74, so all the Northeast and certain folks are going, wow, we can't wait for this weekend. It's going to be warm.
Yes, definitely.
We had Ron Nene on, who normally is involved in the promoting of this event, and we asked who was the number one person that he always wanted here for the Peterson Cup event, and it was actually a gentleman who trained you in Mike Quackenbush. You also were involved with Chris Hero and El Pantera and Claudio Castagnoli. Talk about what each gentleman brought to you that you pick and chose to create who you are in the ring.
First of all, alright, so I grew up watching Lucha Libre, and if you're not familiar with it, it's basically high-flying and you know, acrobatics and everything that excites you about wrestling that's not on wrestling today. So El Pantera kind of gave me that influence, and, you know, he's definitely from the source. He's from Mexico. He does that style. That's his style. He actually is one, you know, I don't even know how many trainers Mike Quackenbush has, but he's one of the trainers who actually showed Mike Quackenbush a little bit of the Lucha Libre style, along with Skyda, who is a big part of Dragon Gate, as everybody knows. Chris Hero and Claudio Castagnoli, probably the greatest tag team on the independent scene, if not of all time, of right now. They also, you know, are one of my trainers, a couple of my trainers, train under a lot of people, but those four are my main right now. Being with Chikara, we get a lot of influences around the world. Like I said before, Lucha Libre is my style, so everybody get used to it.
Which, as we mentioned, I ran off a gamut of promotions that you've been a part of, but take us through Chikara, because we already spoke about it with Grizzly Redwood, and we spoke about it with Eric Cannon, and when you go to their website, it's a phenomenally laid out item, but take us through just the promotion as opposed to when you go to other places like Dragon Gate or ROH. How different is the in-ring style for fans who have never seen it and the fan base?
So Chikara is more of a, you know, a razzle-dazzle kind of form of wrestling. It is completely different. It's not what you're not what you were used to, like as you see on TV or ROH or Dragon Gate USA. It's a lot of, you know, colorful characters, a lot of high-flying mask, you know, great costumes, a lot of the elements that influence, you know, Lucha Libre to American style wrestling. I've gotten a chance to wrestle, you know, all around the U.S. or around the world. I just came back from Japan. And it's completely different. You know, you'll never find anything like it. Because of Chikara, you know, Chikara is becoming really big right now. If not, it's, you know, top five independent promotions or wrestling promotions in the U.S. And because of it, I've got to meet a lot of really nice people, a lot of really good wrestlers. A lot of knowledge to come into my mind through Chikara.
You had mentioned going to Japan. Spug wants to chime in. Go ahead, sir.
I'm sorry. I was working on something real quick.
You're fine.
Now, as someone who wrestles in the Lucha Libre style, as yourself, and having traveled around the world and seeing the Japanese, the Canadians, the Europeans, the Americans, and whatnot, do you find going into those places being well received with the Lucha Libre style, or is it still kind of it's not really understood as well as it is in say Mexico?
Meow, I think a lot of the places do understand it. I don't think they. Are you there? Yeah.
Hello?
Are you guys there?
Yes, there he is. We apologize. Oh. We had difficulty in the connection there.
That's all right. I actually just toured with a soccer pro. If you don't know what a soccer pro is, it's kind of the Japanese version of Chikara. A lot of, you know, funny characters, a lot of the... it resembles a lot of Mexican wrestling and the Lucha Libre style. I did get a chance to wrestle in England once, and they kind of didn't understand the, you know, characters. Why is this guy wearing a mask? Why is he flipping around all these places? But after a while, they did get used to it because it is something that they're not used to. They're not used to the acrobatics or, you know, the style that I do. But after a while, they get used to it, and they end up liking it, bringing me back, hopefully. Come on, England, book me.
You've been involved with Dragon Gate USA, and they have another interesting fan base, and also a match that I got to witness at last year's Peterson Cup event. If they came to you and said, congrats, Lince, you're in Ray. How do you handle that kind of a match? Because there's multiple opponents coming at you, and there's a clock on how much time before the next person comes in. In your mind, is that the kind of match that you want to be a part of, or are you sitting there looking at the promoter going, you want that guy, not me?
Did we lose him again?
And it looks like we did lose him. Oh, shoot. All right, tell you what, we're going to go ahead and take a quick timeout here, and we'll be back on the other side of this break. This is Mace, the overworked co-host of WrestleTalk Radio, OWW Radio, Otaku Talk Live, the Offside Producer, Cindy's Cleaning Boy, Building Diana, Advertising Guru, Bugs Bong Holder, Drink Runner, Omega's Transformer Record Keeper, and Back in the Book, all here on WildTalkRadio.com. If you decide to listen to a show that features a bit of the old-fashioned ultraviolence, people getting their heads kicked in, bones broken, and bloody crazy fights, then come on over and listen to Tap Outs to Knockouts live in the archive section of WildTalkRadio.com.
Mate, it's not all about the bloody stuff and the ultraviolence. Hey, this is Spud from Tap Outs to Knockouts. And if you want to hear the news, results, and technical side of MMA, check us out on WildTalkRadio.com in the archive section. And oh yeah, we do have the bloody stuff.
And now I know.
And knowing is half the battle. Hey! What are you guys doing in here? Get back to sleeping.
Ever wanted to know what is really going on through the mind of pro wrestlers? Well, now you can with WrestleBook. It's the only place where you can find out what some of the biggest names in the business were thinking about during pro wrestling's biggest moments. Just imagine if Facebook existed from the beginning. Want to know more? Then log on to www.wildtalkradio.com/wrestlebook for an inside look into pro wrestling history. The only place to go is WrestleBook.
This is the original voice of wrestling, Tim Stein. Catch me talking sense about the WWE, TNA, and the rest on the real voice of professional wrestling talk, WrestleTalk Radio. Sunday night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back, Tom. We do apologize for the technical difficulty we had with Lynn Storato and his cell phone. We will file legal papers against it as we speak, and we knew it was, we all of a sudden went to break, and our next guest chimed in, and he said, yeah, I was just talking to him, and he was using foreign languages to talk about his phone. This is Online World of Wrestling Radio. This is Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup Night. We have tried to bring you the best of the best each and every week here on the show, and this is the biggest undertaking interview-wise I've ever done. We get to go with some people on the show. Some are very polite. Some come with a reputation. This gentleman comes with a big reputation because he has been to the finals of the Ted Petty Invitational, the former Sweet Science 16. He's been to the finals of the Best of the Best. He's been to the finals of the Candido Cup, and he's been to the finals of the Revolution Strong Style event. And some folks are picking him to be in the finals of this event. He comes with an interesting opponent in the first round who we'll address in a moment. He is currently the Jersey All-Pro Tag Team Champion in the U.S. Death Machine. He is the new horror, Sammy Callahan. Thank you for being with us and having a fully charged battery.
Yeah, that's me. I'm trying to test me the mother approved.
You, as I said, you come with the reputation of being in finals of these events. Ted Petty comes with a reputation such as the Peterson Cup, being that it is in memory of someone. For fans that have been living under rocks for years, talk about that event, being that it, as I said, it was the Sweet Science 16, and then it was named for Ted Petty, if you want to address that event.
Well, it always seems to be tournaments with me lately. I've been going to finals of every major tournament pretty much in the country in the last year. And I'm, like I said a couple weeks ago, I'm always the bridesmaid and never the bride. And this is kind of upsetting me, and I feel like it's my time to get the trophy. And I feel if I'm driving all the way down to Florida to wrestle some of the best talent and young talent in the country, I'm coming home with the trophy. Like, that's the only thing I'm looking forward to this weekend. I want my trophy, man. I want my trophy.
Now, if you win the cup, will you pull a hockey player and drink out of the cup?
Oh,
I will drink every delicious drink I can find. I'm a big fan of water lately. I've been drinking like a gallon and a half of water a day. Maybe just the water in that cup and just keep going with that.
There you go.
You come with an interesting pedigree, and hopefully Online World of Wrestling was correct in this one, that you were trained out of the Heartland Wrestling promotion by Les Thatcher and Shark Boy? How does one come to be trained by those two interesting folks? And I mean it in a good way.
It's I don't know, and it wasn't so much just Les Thatcher. It was one of those things, me and a bunch of my buddies that wanted to be pro wrestling back in the time, we were living in a small little hick town in northern Ohio, and we found out online that Shark Boy was having like a beginner's class of pro wrestling that was only like $500. So we all like pitched in all the money we could, and I actually used the rest of my college tuition money. And we used it to go down there. We drove down there like three hours down there two times a week to get like the beginning trainer thing. And from that, it was ran in the same building as HWA, and I actually met Cody Hawk, who was like Les Thatcher's like understudy. He was the guy right under Les Thatcher for years that always trained everybody. And I didn't really meet Les Thatcher till like my last part in HWA. Like the last year I was in HWA, Les started coming back around and I actually got to do a little bit of training with him.
Now, you're from a hick town in northern Ohio, and Bellefontaine is a hick town. I've been there.
It's crazy, man. We had a parade when one guy opened up.
But see, I live about 40 minutes south of Cleveland, so I know Bellefontaine. That's a hick town. But I gotta ask, when you wrestled for HWA, was there an individual by the name of Tack wrestling there?
As soon as you said Cleveland and you said individual, the first thing that popped in my head was Tech. Yes. Believe me, when I first met him, I didn't know his reputation of, like, the crazy reputation he had up in Cleveland for certain incidents that I'm not really going to go into. But he was actually my very first match at HWA, and he was kind of known for being, like, a bully and stuff. So, like, that's kind of funny that you brought that up.
Did you at least punch him in the face once or twice?
Wait, no, but he did when one of my fifth matches in the business, he forearmed me in the face and split me from, like, one eyebrow to the other eyebrow, and then, like, me and him did not see eye ever since.
I was on a couple of cards up here with Tech, and he had the reputation for, I wouldn't say being stiff, but cheap-shotting people. For no apparent reason other than to do it. And a few times he got a pretty stiff receipt. And so I was just wondering if he was the same way down there as he was up here.
I remember he used to come to training sessions at HWA and he used to try to act all tough. And all, like, the younger guys, he'd, like, beat the shit out of them for, like, no reason, like, try to make people quit. And, like, it, like, got him a real reputation of, like, no one liked him. There's, like, two people in the locker room that liked him when I was down there. But, like, other than, like, him hitting me in the face and stuff, like, I didn't have a problem with him, but we really, like I said, just didn't see eye to eye after that fight.
Now, you've wrestled for AIW, and I've been to a couple of their shows, and there was a big rift in between Firestorm Pro and AIW up here. Like I said when we were talking to you before we went live, I've marked out watching you wrestle. I really have. I'm not a huge fan of the ultra-violent hardcore stuff, but it serves its purpose from time to time when you just want to see bloodshed. What possessed you to go, you know what I'd really like to do? I'd like to take a light tube across the face.
I've never taken a light tube across the face. That's the one thing I had never done in pro wrestling ever. I always said I'd never do light tubes. I never wanted to do light tubes until this past summer. Incident happened in a match where I had light tubes thrown at me, and that was the only incident I ever had with light tubes ever. Like, that was never, like, something in my face. Like, I just want to get hit with light tubes. Like, that was nothing that was ever in my head. And it wasn't what I was into wrestling for, but it was just something I kind of fell into. Like, it was a really dark time in my life. My best friend died in the wrestling ring, and I just kind of lost my mind, and, like, that's when the whole, like, crazy character came to be, and I became to be what I am now. And, like, I say that time period in my career, like, really helped me, like, mold what I, like, alternately become. Like, if I never had that deathmatch experience, and never had that, like, little era of deathmatches, I don't think I'd be nearly as successful as I am today, because it made me the tough wrestler I am today, and it made me, like, very, very, very smart of why I need to, like, try to take care of my body, like, after that cage deathmatch.
Yeah, which is a great segue, because you come with a reputation of tournaments, but you also come with a badass reputation because you're a former Ironman champion, which was renamed the New Horror Championship, and you're a former Ultraviolet.
Ultraviolet Underground Champion ever. That's not something to really boast about, but it's like something that's very, very random. I won it in a tournament, and then lost in the next round of a tournament. So, once again, tournament play comes in the factor here, but shortest running Ultra Underground Champion ever.
Yeah. Now, this is where I wanted to go with this, because I've been in locker rooms where I've had wrestlers sit there and go, those who can wrestle, those who can't do hardcore. And I've met some wrestlers that were offended by that, and I've met some wrestlers that go, well, yeah, you're right, dude. That's the way it is. What are your thoughts when you hear something like that said to you?
Honestly, I think it's something that, in my mind, is just complete ignorance. Like, if someone's going to say one style of wrestling is wrong and another style of wrestling is right, that's complete ignorance. It's kind of like religion. Everyone has their own right to, like, whatever pro wrestling they like. And this new era of wrestling that we're going into isn't about one style of wrestling. You're seeing wrestlers that's doing everything. You're seeing these new era of hybrid wrestlers, people like Drake Younger, who can on one night, and like Jon Moxley, who on one night be in like a bloody, like, freaking no rope barbed wire, and the next night wrestle anyone in the country, any style of wrestler, I guarantee you can go toe to toe with them and carry a main event match.
Jersey Girl in our chat room, I believe it's Jersey Girl, it may not be. One of our folks wanted to have an ROH question, and I'm going to try to clean it up a bit here. What the beep happened? jobber in the company when you're one of the more talented, experienced, marketable men on the roster? Was it a political thing?
I honestly really don't know. It's one of those things just where nothing really came to be. Like, one thing would happen, then another thing would happen. Or, like, I was on a lot of shows, on off shows, but, like, it's something that never really clicked, and I never really got a spot. Like, I'm not going to say I'm salty about it. I'm not going to say I'm bitter. Like, I'm very happy for the experience and the exposure I got from being on their shows, but it's just something that never happened for me.
Now, you have the reputation for being, a badass, for being very strong-styled, and forgive me for not remembering if you have ever wrestled someone like Samoa Joe, but would you welcome that match if you haven't? Would you like to go toe-to-toe with him strong style?
Absolutely. Like, honestly, to the point in my career where I feel I can go toe-to-toe with anybody that wants to say, like, it's that part of the field. Like, I love the physical aspect of wrestling. Like, I want to get in there, and I want to get down and dirty. I want to be hit, and I want people to hit me, and I want to hit people back, because, like, that's what I loved about pro wrestling. I love the physical aspect. I love, like, making pro wrestling, like, real again, and making it feel like it's something that's, like, inside you, and it's, like, that passion of getting through a match like that. Like, I honestly feel I can go in there with any of those guys and go toe-to-toe. Like, I honestly don't think there's someone that can hit me harder than Too Cold Scorpio kicked me in the TPI. He kicked me so hard in the face and dislocated my jaw. And, like, I want to see what I can do. Like, I honestly don't care who it's against.
Fair enough.
You're currently in one of the more unique situations than anyone in this tournament, because your partner is in this tournament, and that would be Chris Dickinson. First off, who came up with the name U.S. Death Machine, and what was your initial reaction when the Peterson Cup office said, good news, you're in the tournament? Even better news, your partner's your opponent.
I'm actually thrilled that my partner's my opponent, because, like, maybe not a lot of people know the history between me and Dickinson, but about a year ago, me and Dickinson didn't like each other at all. Like, we were on a couple shows with each other, we just didn't, like, really click. We kind of just, we didn't like each other. We kind of, like, thought, like, each of us had a reputation, and we really didn't want to get around each other. And then we randomly ended up wrestling on a Jersey All-Pro show, and honestly, I feel like it was one of, like, my strongest matches to date, and no one will ever have seen that match except the live crowd, because Jersey All-Pro never taped the match. And from that match, me and Dickinson actually became friends, and that's when we got the idea for the tag team. Like, we actually saw really eye to eye, and, like, we had a lot of the same looks on the business, and we were like, screw it, dude, let's start teaming. Because I really wasn't teaming with Moxley that much anymore, and me and Dickinson wanted to try this out in Jersey All-Pro, because there's a lot of guys in Jersey All-Pro that me and him, like, wanted to go toe-to-toe against, kind of like people that were wrestling on their anniversary show, the return of the heavy hitters and stuff. But, like, when I found out that I was wrestling them, I was like, thank you. This is a match that people's finally going to get to see, and it's a match that I really, really want, and it's something that I can't express how much I'm looking forward to.
I'm in awe of sitting here, because I want to know when you're coming back to Ohio.
You may be Spug's new man crush. Triple H may have been shoved to the side here, Sammy.
It's quite possible. As long if he can cuddle like Triple H does, he's in.
Oh, wow. He is Sammy Callahan. He is known as the new horror, and as mentioned, has one of the more interesting first round opponents here.
Apparently, people think I'm adorable and want to cuddle with me, from what I've just heard. So I'm going to go ahead and say I'm the most adorable wrestler out there as well, since everyone wants to cuddle with me now. I kind of look like a panda. I kind of look like a panda sometimes, I've been told.
Yeah,
you are adorable.
Yeah, before we let you go, we have a gentleman in our chat room who is actually a fan of Pro Wrestling Guerrilla and wants to know, has there been any interest in you in coming out to California to compete in the near future?
I really don't know. I would love to come out to California, and if someone wants to contact me, I'd be greatly appreciated to go out to somewhere like Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. It's somewhere that I really want to wrestle. I got contacted by, I believe it's Pro Wrestling Epic War, but I wasn't really able to do the dates because they just really didn't match up. But that's all I've heard from the California scene.
He is going to be in Florida for both dates. If you're a fan of Jersey All Pro, go to their website to check him out. He is also a part of Evolve, which is EvolveWrestling.com. He's also made appearances in Chikara. We will see him this weekend. And coming up after the break, the last of the competitors in this event, and a legitimate Eagle Scout. I'm interested to hear what the Man Scout, Jake Manning, has to say. Coming up on Online World of Wrestling Radio, we'll be back in a minute.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey everyone, this is Phil Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kind of did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of the...
Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday night, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
I'm Al Snow, former WWE superstar, tough enough trainer, and just all-around gadabout. When I want to talk or I want to listen to someone else talk, I go to wildtalkradio.com.
Welcome back on Online World of Wrestling Radio. The music brought tonight by the creative genius that is Rob Zombie, director of Halloween 2. I believe it did an animated movie somehow involving wrestling, but we'll tease all that stuff later on when we pitch the thank yous at the end of the event. Back on Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup night, and we're at the end of the line for competitors in the tournament that are joining us here. This gentleman was in the 2006 event, unfortunately falling to the Canadian Cougar that some folks may know as Tony Kazina. Maybe not. I'm not 100% sure on that one. He has held the 0-1 U.S. Heavyweight Championship. He has competed in Full Impact Pro, the host promotion for the Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup. He has been a part of the G-O-U-G-E, the Gouge promotion, as some people call it. And also Premier Wrestling Showcase, which used to be the CWA. And he is a legitimate Eagle Scout. This is awesome for me being a former Boy Scout myself. Only got to life. I was not as blessed as Jake Manning. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us tonight.
Oh, no, thank you. And thank you for saving the best for last. I appreciate it.
Now, as mentioned... Oh, go ahead, Spug. I know you wanted to jump in.
Well, you two got the life in Eagle. I barely got the first class.
Oh.
That's...
It sure wasn't Tenderfoot, because there's a difference. So
No. I got Tenderfoot, and then I got first class, and then we moved, and I just kind of gave up on scouts, because my scout troop here didn't do half the stuff that my old one did.
I see. That's a common excuse. I hear that a lot.
It's true. Like, we went camping, like, every weekend. And then here, the one in Seville, they maybe went camping, like, twice a year.
You moved the jobber pack. You went from the pro to the jobber pack.
Blame my parents, dude. They wanted to move.
Yeah, I went framed. I'm a scout from Long Island, New York, so we had fall, the polar bear, we had a spring, and then we used to go camping in either Rhode Island or out on the east end of Long Island at a place called Baiting Hollow. So I got to experience the four seasons literally. At what point in your career, because like I said, I've met you on several occasions, at what point did you sit there and go, you know, I like being Jake Manning, but this Man Scout thing may get me some traction with other promotions. Was that the genesis of the Man Scout for fans that aren't aware of it in a shoot sense for the moment?
Well, see, which a lot of people don't know, I started for a year and a half in the Midwest, and when I first started, it was always my intent to be the Man Scout. Like, that was my goal. And when it came time for me to start to wrestle, I had all my Boy Scout stuff, and I was telling all the guys, like, this is what I want to be. And they all looked at me like I was stupid. They told me it was awful and it was horrible and not to do it. And so they told me that I was going to be a Mr. Perfect knockoff. And I was going to be called Mr. Elite. So I was Mr. Elite forever. I didn't even have a name. And then finally after realizing that sucked, I became Jake Manning. And then when I realized that nobody cared about Jake Manning, I was like, oh, let's kind of pep this up a little bit. And I just did it as a joke, like, one day. I put my Boy Scout stuff on, I kind of had some gear made for it, and before I ever locked up, I knew it would work. So.
Are you getting ribbed by the boys for this gimmick, or are they sitting there going, damn, I should have thought of that?
Pretty much, it's pretty much the consensus. Everybody that I've ever wrestled with or against, they're just blown away by it. Not to toot my own horn with it, but it gets a reaction out of people. And the reason I did it is because in wrestling, you got to think of it like a fan. When you go to a show, you know, you want to be remembered on the way home because then they want to come back to see you. I was always the bald guy with the plain tights, you know, the trunks, you know, the bald guy. No, the other bald guy with the beard, you know, I mean, we all look alike to them. Like, we all think that they know the difference between everybody and where they wrestle on that, but the general fan doesn't. But the thing is, when you wear a Boy Scout uniform and you wear, you know, short shorts, you tend to get remembered more so than you do when you wear just black boots and black trunks. And that's pretty much my thought process is getting into people's heads on the ride home. So,
as mentioned, you held the 01 U.S. Heavyweight Championship, which is a part of 3K Wrestling, which was run by Steve Corino.
Correct.
But you've also been in the ring with Steve, and we've had him on the show, and he's one of the more entertaining guests we'll ever have in a lifetime. But he's one of the biggest names you've been in the ring with, and also you've had, for fans that aren't aware of it, you've been in with Ricky Morton and you've been in with Jerry the King Lawler. Was there a situation where you just went like, holy crap, I'm wrestling Jerry Lawler, I'm in with Ricky Morton, or I'm in with Carino, that you may have had to just go, okay, snap in focus right now, or is it just like any other match?
Wrestling Jerry Lawler, like, I've wrestled him actually several times, and I can't tell you how humbling of an experience it is, because you have to sit there and think, like, okay, I'm going to be wrestling Jerry the King Lawler, and if I drop him on his head, or I give him a black eye, he will have a black eye at Monday Night Raw, and I'm going to be the idiot that did that. So it's almost like you have to think of the fact that this guy's going to be on national television, and he's on national television every Monday night. So it's always a thought process that goes through my head. When I wrestled Steve, I mean, I wrestled him for an hour. We're actually each other's only true one-hour Broadway. He had a one-hour Broadway that was the work with Doug Williams, but we're each other's only one-hour Broadway, so we're kind of cosmically linked in that sense. So that's kind of a cool experience, because I always look to Steve as somebody I can ask advice from and look to as far as what I want with my career. But really, I mean, you listed off a great list of names, but the people that come right away to the forefront of my mind is the short period of time that I was training with Ricky Steamboat's son, Ricky Steamboat. And, you know, Ricky was in there working out with us, and we all took arm drags from Ricky Steamboat. Before, and this was like months before he came back on TV or even talked that was going to happen. So we're sitting there thinking, like, man, when's anybody from our generation taking an arm drag from Ricky Steamboat? And then, of course, when Reed came around about the same time to train, Rick was very, very involved with us in the ring. So there was more than a few times. And Rick was in there with us, locking up with us, giving us shoulder tackles, going through moves. I mean, at one point in time, I body slammed Ric Flair. I'm like, I can't stop Ric Flair. I just body slammed Ric Flair in a training session. I mean, it's an incredible experience. I mean, when I think of the list of people, I wasn't in a match or anything like that, but getting to lock up with Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat. I mean, what person of my age can say that? That's not working for WWE.
Not many people at all, and that's the amazing part of your job. For fans that aren't aware of it, this isn't your first time coming to Florida. You've been a part of FIP events before, in Crystal River, in Brooksville. Same kind of bit of an old school mentality that you would run into in the Carolinas, or is it two totally different packs of fans?
I have the fortunate opportunity. And not a lot of people know I work for highspots.com, so I get to travel a lot of places. I wrestled in the Northeast for Northeast Wrestling for Michael Bryan. I get to go to Tennessee. I wrestle in California, Las Vegas. I'm taking tours of Austria. I think for the most part, wrestling fans are all the same, but there's certain places have certain things they like to and appreciate. I think Southern fans, it's much more of a people always say the old school style where it's, oh, we mess around with the crowd and it's real slow. And it's like, it's not really the case. It's, you know, I think a lot of Southern fans, they like to see a lot of action, a lot of fast pace. It necessarily doesn't have to, all the pieces don't necessarily have to fit, but you have to work very hard, I think, for Southern fans. I think that, you know, people talk about how hard Philly fans are. They are, but Philly fans will get bored with you in 15 minutes. But, you know, Southern fans will give you the patience, but they demand a little bit more for their ticket money.
I'm stunned. We actually have a call, it looks like, here. Are you calling in to talk with the Man Scout caller?
I don't know, man. This is Chris Dickinson. He told me to call in at this time. I'm, like, in my bed half dead because I got food poisoning.
You just missed him, dude. I feel bad. Big Manning, meet someone who you may be meeting later on in the night. This is Sammy Callahan's tag partner and opponent this Friday night. This would be the Man Scout Jake Manning on with Chris Dickinson. So, while we have you here, Chris, give Jake a moment to recover here. He was. Looking forward to taking you on, man. Is that the kind of response you were expecting from Sammy, or were you thinking he may not want to be in the opening round against you?
Well, I mean, you have to understand how Sammy is and how I am, and that's why we're a tag team. It's because before we actually were a tag team, we were pretty fierce competitors against each other, so we both kind of have a competitive nature and I know Sammy, you know, he's the kind of guy that he won't ever phone it in. He won't ever give anything less than 110%. And I kind of feel the same way about myself. So usually when we go at it with each other, it's, you know, it's like we look forward to to fighting each other, because, you know, we know that we're into getting a good reaction, and we're into, you know, hard hitting and, you know, no bullshit. Excuse my language, but that's how
okay.
we are, and that's why we kind of formed a tag team. It's because, you know, we felt like a lot of guys aren't about that anymore where we're at. So, you know, we kind of gelled together. I'm definitely looking forward to the singles match. It's been a while since we had a singles match, and the last one we had was very well received by a lot of people. You know, not to say I'm conceited or anything, but I saw it pop up on a lot of people's lists as possible match of the year candidate, and you know, I saw people, you know, would talk about us, and you know, they liked the way we worked together. So, I mean, I don't know if that had anything to do with why we were chosen to fight each other in the first round, or if it's because we're in a tag team, or it's because we have like a natural chemistry. But you know, me and Sammy should be pretty good.
All right. On that note, we're actually going to let both gentlemen go ahead and go. As I said, Friday night, it is in Brooksville. Saturday night, Crystal River. Don't be afraid. Come out. Meet wrestlers. They will take pictures with you. They will shake hands with you. They will not have big, huge-ass barricades in front of you and people that are humongously huge, like Atlas Security, blocking your way to get to them. I mean, at least let them get to the ring and wrestle. So thank you so much for both of you gentlemen joining us here. Coming up after the break, yes, there is stuff going on in this world besides the Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup. We will get into the finals of NXT Season 3 and talk about Season 4. Final resolution is this coming weekend. We'll be back on the other side of the break. OWW Radio.
The $1 million man.
Paul Pogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Woogerman.
And tomorrow,
Peter Wilson, Natty Neidhart,
Harry Smith,
Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site for pro shoes. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
This is the ultimate warrior! I am taking time from my job delivery pizza for Papa John's to tell all the little mortal warriors out there to tune into this radio program from the seventh moon of Raxor in the Gaxen Galaxy called Wrestle Talk Radio. This show is on during the apex of the sun and the dark side of Saturn, otherwise known to the masses as Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time Zone. Or when the WWE or TNA pay-per-viewership finish and the warrior stands supreme over the fallen victims of X-Lax. So go, puny masses, and listen to the show, because the power of the warrior commands you to do it. Now the warrior needs to go and deliver this meat lover's pizza to the mortals that ordered it!
Hey, this is former WWF wrestler Rory McAllister, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Use my body to keep you alive.
Just when we thought we were done with Jeff Peters Memorial Cup talk, the rockin' goes, my co-host on CB Radio heard about this thing, and I know his co-host by reputation, and he was like, Subway wants to come on and talk on All My World of Wrestling Radio? This is awesome. You've been friends with Jeff and trained with Jeff. Talk about your initial meeting of Jeff, because he had Ron and Aaron and Ron and Naftali had mentioned that Jeff came down from the Carolinas and the Jim Kettner promotion. So give your first memories of Jeff.
All right. Well, first I started out in Canada Camp, the produce place, training under Chaos. I was maybe, maybe 2 weeks in training, I didn't know nothing. I mean, we were doing, like, you know, basic moves and stuff like that. And this kid comes in, Jeff. I had no idea who independent people are. You know, I didn't know anybody other than, you know, what I see on TV at that point. So I didn't think nothing of it. You know, I was like, he said, you know, hey, you want to work out some? Like, yeah, sure, you know, I want to work out with everybody I can, you know. We're still going, everything's going good, you know, he's taking care of me, and next thing I know, took my first DDT, had no clue what I was doing, and he lands it, and I just plant like RVD, but my legs didn't go up, I kind of just fell limp, you know, and he looks at me, he's like, oh crap, are you alright? And I'm like, I don't know, man, and I went on the thing, my neck was hurt, and I'm like, he's like, oh my gosh, he goes, don't tell me I just broke your neck. I was like, no. I was like, it's not broke. I'm good. He's like, he goes, well, how long have you been working, you know? And I said, I just started training like a week and a half ago, 2 weeks. And he just started laughing. He's like, oh, he's like, I didn't know, my bad. And actually, I learned a lot from Jeff, actually. He was one of the first guys to put me over the ropes, you know, backwards and stuff like that. Ron would know what event that was. That was a blast. But go ahead. What else you want to ask me?
Yeah, well, everyone that we've talked with in the past, I've done interviews with folks that have been in this tournament, spoken with Ron, spoken with Aaron Royal, with Honest Eddie Edwards, Sideshow, the former OG Scarface, and anytime Jeff's name comes up, they always have a big grin on their face. Was he just that likable a kid, or was it about him?
He was a saint. Honestly, he was a really, really good-hearted kid. He was very nice, you know. It just, I don't know, you know, I just, you know, you just never really got, like, a bad vibe from it. You know, it was kind of person, like, you'd leave in your house, you know, unlocked and not have to worry about anything coming up stolen. And, you know, he just was. He just had, like, and his charisma, and it's just, it was like he was born to wrestle. He really was. You know, it had to have been just his natural charisma. It's just, you know, so nice and very polite, and, you know, he never had, like, a big head, and, you know, and I think that, like, the biggest thing is, you know, he's willing to, like, talk to anybody. He was willing to work or help with anybody. He'd sit down there and talk to you, you know, for hours on hours, and, you know, I remember talking, like, we'd hang out and stuff, and, you know, parties and stuff like that, and talking, you know, and I think that's what it was. I think he just had that natural, you know, like, kind of, I want to say almost like a halo over his head, you know, like you knew that this was a good kid.
And he is the Subway. He is on this network on Saturdays with The Rock and with Rob Parks. Before we let you go, what's it like to be a part of a show where your co-host snores for an hour on the air?
What's that? What is it like to what?
What's it like to have Rob snoring for an hour? I've been trying to get up the guts to listen to the audio of that thing because Rock told me, and I was like, I gotta ask Subway. I mean, were you guys like trying to wake him up? Did you just let him snore?
At some point, yeah, we did try to wake him up and stuff like that. You know, we were trying to like, you know, but then we just kind of gave up, and it was kind of just more, you know, funny. Like, dude, you're building a cabin over here, man. What the hell is going on? So yeah, it was amazing. I ain't never heard nobody snore that hard, like that fast, you know.
I come to my house, my wife tells me I snore like if there was world championships, I'd be in the quarterfinals every year.
I'm making one.
Oh, we just lost them. Damn, I feel bad. I didn't do that. That is Subway. He is a former friend of Jeff Peterson, and we're very appreciative that he was able to join us here as well. We are actually going to talk something other than indies tonight, and we're going to start with the 16-hour-long, oh, it only felt that way, the 3-hour King of the Ring event that our own Jersey girl who listens to us on a weekly basis was able to partake in, and she actually said that John Cena actually ran by her during there. That's pretty cool.
Juan Cena?
No, he was John Cena on Monday Night Raw. He wasn't Juan. Juan is the guy that's working his house show dates that he has to miss now. His Mexican cousin, I believe it is. I think he's also a distant relative of the Midnight Rider. I mean, this is so Dusty Rhodes screaming, Spug. It's just like, what the heck? What's next?
All right, I watched part of Raw the other night before tuning on the debacle of a Monday night game between San Francisco and Arizona, praying to God that Rackers missed it, or not Rackers, but oh my God, who's the Arizona kicker now? I think it still is Rackers. Praying to God he missed a couple of field goals because I needed it to make it into the playoffs. But watching that, they went to that where Heath Slater was walking out to go wrestle. Or not Heath. Who was it? Was it McGillicuddy?
It was Joe Henning that got attacked first.
Yeah, McGillicuddy. Watching him get beat up and then just seeing the hand wave in front of the camera, I actually marked just a little bit.
Yeah. Now, someone who just a little bit. Yeah, it was a little weird. All of a sudden, go wait, what the? Did Ron Killing jump him? We won't break down every single match. We will just flat out say that your King of the Ring is Sheamus.
Now,
and I'm
Rock,
sure.
Rock called it. Rock called it the other night, and I'm going to agree with him. And I'm going to say this. King Sheamus versus the King of Kings, Triple H, at some point.
Could be Mania? Do you want to save that for Mania? Give him a Mania rematch?
I would.
I would hate to see that at Mania.
Oh, there she is. Our official correspondent. Yes, Jersey Girl was at the event last night in Philadelphia, and we are very happy that she was able to jot some notes and have Cena run by her. No, he ran by. Did your section start doing a whole Cena sucks, go Cena thing like he had in Orlando? Or was it just like, holy crap, he just ran right by us?
Actually, it was really funny because, like, I guess they showed him coming down from, like, the steps area. Did they show that?
I don't know. I was watching.
Yeah, he was all over the damn joint, man. I was like, what the heck?
They showed him coming down the steps, and like right when it was so funny because like this random like black guy just like stood up and hugged him, which was really funny.
Oh, when he came down with his tickets.
Yeah, when he came down with his tickets.
All of those four. What are you taking up a whole damn road, dude?
But it was really funny to watch because then like he came down, and like right where the steps end is where like my row is. So I was within like maybe 4 or 5 seats in. And, like, we just heard everyone start screaming. We kind of looked over, like, oh, there's Cena.
What was the overall vibe with the audience for that? Was it just a general huge pop? Because on TV, obviously, they can filter in whatever sounds they want. But how did the Philly crowd react to him dissecting the Nexus the way he did?
Oh, I mean, everyone kind of went nuts. And, like, when, what was it? I can't remember who it was. McGillicuddy?
He took out McGillicuddy first. The worst of the beatings was the one that Justin Gabriel got. That was the one my wife was even sitting there going, that's a concussion, because he just blew out a legitimate car window.
Yeah. It was funny, because, like, my friend was like, oh, shit. Literally, like, oh, shit. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it was definitely an interesting evening. For someone that was there live, the reaction to The Miz versus Jerry Lawler and all of us giving a standing ovation in our living room to Jerry Lawler for finally doing what Daniel Bryan should have done a long time ago, and that is knocking Michael Cole on his ass.
Oh, we were so happy to see that, too.
Yeah, but what was the vibe to see Jerry Lawler, of all the people, to be the first TV opponent for The Miz? Was that kind of a letdown, or was that like, yes, this is cool?
Well, it was kind of cool just to see him wrestle in general, because I haven't seen, like, Lawler wrestle in, like, a couple years.
Oh.
So it was really cool just to see him wrestle on, you know, live in the arena and stuff. What was more interesting was, like, after they went off the air, you know, Barrett came down, challenged Cena. Cena came out, attacked him, gave him whatever there was, the attitude adjustment or whatever. He, of course, got attacked by the rest of the Nexus that were not injured.
Which
and,
leaves Heath Slater and Otunga both looking around,
yeah,
going, we're next, dude, crap. I'm hiding.
But, It was Husky Harris and, like, Heath Slater. No, it wasn't Heath Slater. It was Husky Harris and
Otunga.
Otunga come out. And then they were stopped by Mark Henry and Daniel Bryan. And then Cena got in the ring, thanked everyone for coming, and basically said to Jerry Lawler, it's Jerry Lawler's birthday. He had everyone in the ring sing happy birthday, had the Divas come out with a cake, and then had a huge cake fight.
Oh, God, that's what I want to clean up after. Thanks, Jerry.
No, but it was, no, like, Cena actually threw it in Maurice's face. It was hilarious. So much.
Yeah, now, you're one of the few folks that listen to us that we allow that you go and watch NXT and then come back and enjoy the program. We're sorry that we don't talk NXT that much, but unfortunately they're on while we're on. So during season 1 and 2, it was cool. I could sit there and have a clicker in my hand and going, all right, cool. What's going on here? Oh, yay. Whoa. Overall reaction from the fans on TV tonight and yourself that Caitlyn is the next breakout star.
I honestly didn't watch it. I stuck with you guys and listened to you guys because I wanted
to
talk to Grizzly. I wanted to talk to Grizzly and Rock wouldn't answer the phone.
Rock!
I think he was away from the computer, though, but it was okay. So I kind of
stuck with you guys. He was getting oxygen because he's like, you had on 7 people, plus Ron Namy, plus Aaron, plus Naftali, plus Lenny Leonard. It's like, enough. People
but, yeah,
call on Skype, man.
But yeah, my friend Josh told me before the event it was Caitlyn that won it. So I'll just go back and watch it tomorrow and go look it up and stuff.
Oh, well, we're glad you had fun in Philadelphia, and thanks for taking some time and calling in and giving us your thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, what was also funny is from the beginning, I predicted that the finals was going to be Sheamus and Morrison.
Yeah, and that's you need to go play some lotto numbers or Powerball or something like
that. It was a given, like, when John Morrison won, like, the second match,
mm-hmm.
and Sheamus won his match. And Sheamus won his match, and it was still going on to, like, the John Morrison, Alberto Del Rio match. I was like, watch, they're going to put, like, John Morrison in because he's having, like, the whole feud with Sheamus, so.
Mm.
It was pretty much a given that that was going to, I was hoping that Morrison would win it. I'm so tired of having like a heel wrestler win the King of the Ring.
Yeah, it's just, but there's, as a fan, and we'll ask this to the folks that are involved in our chat room, does King of the Ring carry as much weight as it used to, going back to when Bret Hart won it, Owen Hart won it, Stone Cold Steve Austin won it, Edge, Booker T, I mean, now they've made it like, oh, Harley Race was King of the Ring. I was like, no, it wasn't. They gave it to him to mock Jerry Lawler. I mean, as a fan, does this buck up Sheamus at all, or are you just like, yeah, he won it, I would have rather somebody else won it?
I personally, like I said, I wanted John Morrison to win it. I didn't think by the way that they've been booking Sheamus lately, because he's been losing, like, all the matches, whatever match he's in, he's been losing. And then he comes back and like, oh, yeah, by the way, you're going to come back and win the King of the Ring. It made no sense to me, but this is me.
Yeah, the Daniel Bryan spear to the outside, from your vantage point, did it look like he injured himself, or was he just working it for effect?
Like when he did the running thing?
Yeah, when he speared out to the ring, because you were on the opposite side, so you saw him go out. Did
yeah,
it
I saw
look
him
as
go
vicious?
Out.
Did it look as vicious on, because the TV, obviously TV wants to use preferable angles at certain times, but was the general reaction in the audience of like, oh crap, he just broke his shoulder?
Well, I mean, every time he does that move, I'm thinking, oh shit, he injured himself, but then he gets back up, so. I can't tell, like the first time he did that move on NXT with Chris Jericho, I'm thinking, oh shit. You know, and, you know, he renovated the Chris Jericho and landed, like, right into the, like, announce table. I'm thinking, oh, crap.
Unfortunately, we're going to go ahead and let you go because we're going to get into NXT Season 4 real quick. And we got to talk TNA as much as Spug hates it, because Mace is usually here to save the day. And now Spug's like, oh, God, I got to talk TNA. For fans that didn't watch NXT Season 3 and stayed with us like Jersey Girl did, you rule. Awesome. Here's the matchups for Season 4, which I'm surprised they're even going to do, Spug, but let me run them real quick. Here are the rookies. Johnny Curtis, his pro is going to be Ron the Truth Killing. Johnny Curtis, I've met at FCW. He's a great talent. Should have been up further. Chris Masters is going to mentor Byron Saxton, if that name rings any bells. It's like, hey, that's the ex-ECW commentator. Yes. Byron Saxton is also a trained wrestler. He wrestles here out of Florida and is a legit journalist. And I would have wished he would have been the one to bitch slap Michael Cole. Brodus Clay is another guy who has been in and out of FCW. He's going to be mentored by Ted DiBiase Jr. Jacob Novak is going to be also involved in this event. He's going to be mentored by Dolph Ziggler. Derek Bateman is going to be mentored by, funny enough, Daniel Bryan. Talk about interesting stuff there. And the last gentleman is Connor O'Brien. I believe he is the former Ryan O'Reilly, who at one point was in developmental and left and was a Florida star. And he will be mentored by Alberto Del Rio. And it looks like, Spug, this is going to be opposite us once again on WWE.com.
That's fine.
Yeah, so
I don't care. I'm not going to watch it. Whatever.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing to see. Now, something that came across the news wires here in the Tampa area, because we get to share news with other markets, was after Monday Night Raw was here in Orlando. The Orlando mayor, Buddy Dyer, and the Orange County official named Rich Crotty, C-R-O-T-T-Y, are apparently lobbying, get this, guys and girls listening, they're lobbying World Wrestling Entertainment to build a permanent home to the WWE Hall of Fame. The sports entertainment company confirms that it is in the very preliminary stages of possibly bringing the Hall of Fame there. Apparently, to Orlando, Florida, probably in the theme park area near Universal Studios. There's a strip called International Drive that I think they're teasing. Interest to you, or is this just like is this comical?
Not in Orlando, Florida.
Okay, Stanford? Where do you put it? You put it next to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
No. You know where you put it? You put it in the Mecca. You put it in the Mecca of wrestling. You put it right there in New York City. Because without New York City, WWE isn't what it is today.
Well, you can put it, Jerry Cosby, the old hockey store, if you're a fan that's gone to the Garden for Ranger and Nick games. Jerry Cosby used to be in the lobby there, and they've actually moved to the other side of the building. So you got space right there you can build in. They said on this newscast, the Fox affiliate, I think it's Fox 35 out of Orlando, and I apologize if I got that wrong, that Vegas was an option, Atlanta was an option. Vegas just doesn't seem right. I don't know why, but it just doesn't seem right.
Vegas doesn't seem right. I would say the four cities that seem right for this are St. Louis, which at one point was the headquarters of the NWA, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta, Georgia, New York City, or Charlotte, North Carolina.
Well, doesn't Charlotte have the NASCAR Hall of Fame there,
they
I believe?
Have, I'm not even going by what Hall of Fames are where.
Okay.
I'm going by importance in wrestling history.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to discredit the West Coast at all. Or to say that Denver, Colorado, or San Francisco, California didn't have any, you know, any lasting impression on wrestling. But if you want to get technical, you can say five cities for Dallas, you know, the Dallas Sportatorium and WCCW. I mean, wrestling was such a back in its heyday, and when it was being built to what it is today, it was such an east of the Mississippi thing. I mean, yeah, you had your territories out west, you had your the AWA up in Minneapolis, and that's another place that you could put it, but Orlando, Florida, to me, that's just a slap in the face. You're going to take my Hall of Fame, you know, the Wrestling Hall of Fame, you're going to take my Hall of Fame and put it in a city that could care less. Put it somewhere where it's gonna matter.
Okay, well, do you even just go and put it, for argument's sake, put it at WWE headquarters, just build on their property, and now you've got people that can do a whole tour of like, all right, here's the Hall of Fame, and let's go look at the WWE TV area, and hey, look, a merchandise shop, go there. Look, there's Triple H's office. Don't go in there.
You could do that. I would even be okay with that if you wanted to put it on the grounds of the WWE campus. I would be absolutely fine with that. I think that it's like, to me, it's like the Baseball Hall of Fame or the Tampa Bay Devil Rays paying Wade Boggs $1 million to go into the Hall of Fame as a Ray when he should have been in there as a Yankee or a Red Sox.
Oh, sure.
You know, you don't do something to bring your city notoriety like that, because then it just diminishes the value of that achievement.
Yeah, and they could get totally lost, because the area that they were talking about, as a former Disney cast member, they were talking about International Drive, which on the same block is a Ripley's Believe It or Not. There's a Wonderworks, which is an upside-down-looking building. That kind of stuff. There's a Titanic exhibit there. And when I heard them saying this on this Fox News report, I was just going, it's not that kind of tourist attraction, man. You know,
no.
The folks that are going, unless you're going to Universal to watch TNA do a taping, as a wrestling fan, because WrestleMania 24 was there, that's the cool reason to put it there. I have to agree with you. I like the idea of Madison Square Garden, and the Stanford campus of WWE may work.
I I think literally, legitimately, you could probably put it in Charlotte. You could put it in Charlotte, North Carolina, just because of Mid-Atlantic and how important that area was to wrestling. But legitimately, they're amending my list. There's probably six or seven cities, now that I think about it, that it could legitimately go in and be perfectly fine. Chicago, Illinois, St. Louis, Dallas, Minneapolis, Atlanta, New York, and Charlotte.
Almost sounds like we're picking where WrestleMania should go. It's awesome.
It's not even that. It's just, you look at that and you go, okay, you know, where did wrestling hold the most influence? When the guys that are in there were building wrestling to the heights that it is now.
Before we exit this area and move into TNA wrestling, I believe the site is realitywanted.com. It's where you can vote for the gentlemen and ladies to be a part of the new Tough Enough event. Jersey Girl actually mentioned that Chance Profit is involved in there. Some other folks are on there. Who did you vote for, if you'd like to divulge your vote? I feel like I'm doing a Heisman thing here. Who did you pick and why?
I voted for Chance Profit because Jersey Girl asked me to, and she said, tell your friends. So I'm telling my friends, go vote for Chance Profit.
And she didn't threaten you, vote for him or I'll find your children.
No. I'm pretty sure my daughter could beat her up.
Now, do you like this idea that WWE is using where they're letting the fans go to the site and vote, or is it just...
I do, because I think it gives WWE an idea of who the fans really want to see, and you're going to get your mixture of legitimate wrestling fans and just name recognition.
Okay.
Which I'm perfectly fine with, because then that means that we're going to get to see the... And granted, they may not be the most talented or they may not be the best workers, but we're going to get to see the people that might make things a little bit more interesting, and I'm fine with that.
Do we want to go back to the way season one was, where, with the exception, I think, of Chris Nowinski, not many of the talent had wrestling experience? Does that interest you more as a fan, or would you like to see this NXT-type situation where it's a Chance Profit, it's any of the guests that we had on night could be on board with this?
I would like to see them pull up, because NXT is basically the class in FCW that's getting ready to come up to the majors anyway, right?
Pretty much,
I would like to see this Tough Enough be the single A ball of, or the double A ball of the wrestling reality shows. You see the guys who have a lot of talent and a lot of potential, but who are still extremely raw. You know, and see them mold them into what you could have, what you could have in NXT or on Raw. I would, or on SmackDown. I would like to see that. I would like to see, you know, the diamond in the rough kind of take on it.
And do you want it to be all gentlemen, or are we fine having a mixture of women in there like they've had in the past, in the first three seasons?
I'm perfectly fine with it. I'm 100% fine with it.
Because there were folks that I was friends with during that era that were not fans of Taylor Matheny or Jackie Gata being there, or, oh, God, there was a girl at one of the seasons that just burped at random and would just yell diva at the end of her burp. I was just like, I think her name is Jamie, and I'm just like, what the heck? Huh? Is this the kind of person I want in my company that just burps and says, I'm going to be a diva, I'm so excited?
I would if we're going to talk like women's wrestling, I would like to see them actually go back to women who could wrestle.
Yeah, oh, we're going to talk about women who can wrestle before we end this evening. Wanted to let folks know in the coming weeks, the gentleman who runs Chick Fight, who is the godfather, so it speaks, of Online World of Wrestling at Diva Dirt, Jason Dedrich, will be joining us in the coming weeks. And we do have a guest for next week already, but we're not going to give it away yet, but I will give you the hint that it is a woman, and she has worked for TNA Wrestling. Which brings us to this past Thursday's Impact, which once again read like, what the heck is going on night? Especially where, who knew all Dixie needed to do was go to a lawyer and go, I'd like to get an injunction against these guys, and boom, there it was, and that was the thing.
Please don't start with the Bischoff-Russo booking. You've immediately just made me want to go, I don't care.
No, I'm not talking about the booking. This isn't a booking thing, but I just think they teased her arrival so much. They're like, Dixie Carter is back, and Impact, and this and that, and then they saved it to the end, and it was in reaction that all of a sudden she just walks in and goes, okay, this, that, the other thing, and, oh, here's an injunction. Bye. It's like, I expected her to go to the ring and do something, and instead it was Thanksgiving dinner.
Dude, the whole story screams of Russo Bischoff. This is, it's horrible. It's almost painful to watch. Like, I had such high hopes for TNA after the one pay-per-view and couple episodes of Impact that I watched and was impressed. I was like, they're on the right track. I'm gonna try not to knock it. I'm gonna take it for what it's worth. They're a budding product. They're learning. And now it's so horrible. I can't watch it. It is absolutely atrocious. If she were half the businesswoman that she pretends to be, you have to know when to cut the fat. And guys like Hogan, Bischoff, Russo, the ones that are giving you these dumb ideas, Jeff Jarrett, are the fat. Cut them away. Get back down to the bare bones and meat of what your company should be all along. And that is the young talent that is going to carry you to superstardom, because guys like Nigel McGuinness and AJ Styles have been absolutely lost.
Yeah, we still have wanted posters out for Nigel. We really hope we find him soon. There's wrestling fans that want Nigel back, damn it.
Nigel,
so if you know where he is, find him.
Nigel McGuinness versus Kurt Angle, great matches.
Oh, yeah.
Ken Anderson versus Kurt Angle, great matches. And, yeah, the common denominator is Kurt Angle there. But we've seen that Nigel McGuinness could have a damn good match with a mop.
Oh, I got to see that when he worked for Full Impact Pro, and got to see him during his time in ROH. And, you know, it could be, I mean, at one point there were stories going around. I know we've talked Paul Heyman on the show before. We talked that he wanted Gabe Sapolsky involved in a little bit of a way. I mean, it's a broken record in some people's minds that we keep bringing up the fact that the booking is this, the booking is that. But that's basically what it comes down to, no matter how we spin what we watched this past Thursday. It's booking. There's nothing we can do about it. And you know, we're going to see some interesting setups here before we even... This is the event that's announced so far for this coming Sunday. Now, there may be some matches added to Thursday on Impact. We're not 100% sure. This just tells you how interested I was in watching this past week's Impact, that I don't want to talk about it anymore. We got, other than to say that some matches were set up off of this pay-per-view. We will be seeing Roddy E versus Jay Lethal. I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. Cookie is going to be suspended above the ring in a cage. And the reason I know this is because Roddy E had a neat little photo on his page of it. Looks like we're getting Full Metal Mayhem The Motor City Machine Guns will be taking on Gen Me, which if you saw their match on Reaction, you can't get any crazier. The former Knockout Champ, she's not a former Knockout Champ, she's a former Divas Champ, I believe. Minky Jane is going to take on Madison Rain, despite what we want to do as fans. First Blood match, a Rhino versus Rob Van Dam. One form or another, Jeff Jarrett will be hooking up with Samoa Joe. Not sure if it's MMA rules, if it's a sing-off, a dance-off. Who knows? We're never sure with what TNA will deliver. And yes, there will be Jeff Hardy, Matt Morgan once again. Who your referee is as of this date and time, we don't know because TNA is not revealing that. Just from those matches alone.
Alan, can I?
Yes,
sir. Can you check your mic right now?
Check my mic?
Yeah, get a mic check real quick.
Mic check? Mic, a microphone check?
There
1212.
Just a hint, by the way. Anyway, moving on.
My microphone's fine. It hasn't moved the entire 3 hours and change we've been here, dude. That
right.
is Sir Rockin', by the way, our tech producer and also a host of other programs.
I think you missed the hint.
Yeah, you kind of missed the hint.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Rhodey. We appreciate it. Yeah, he disappeared, too. He's another one of those TNA guys that was like, yeah, bring 3 Live Crew. But, oh, wait, you can't because one of them's rocking people in WWE, as we mentioned.
No. Mike drop it.
That guy.
Mr. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, now you got it.
Really?
That's
really.
Find out Thursday.
We'll find out Sunday, but that's who everybody is betting on.
It's going to be Mr. Anderson. Interesting. Interesting twist there. But hearing this, if you were a fan of the product, which everybody knows on this networking, is this worth chunking down the change to check out, or is this like, can we just end 2010 for TNA and start clean again for 2011 like they did on January 4th of this year?
I would just like to see them rip it down.
And let Dutch Mantel come back and take it over because he's got an interesting DVD out there involving the rebirth of TNA at the beginning of the year, which we would have liked to have seen happen, but it didn't work. And we're trying to get Dutch on the show here in the coming weeks. And if we can, great. If not, great. We are going to let everybody know, in case you're still listening and you're going, okay, I'm out of people. Who could it be? No, it's not Tracy Brooks because she was here on the show recently. Thanks to the folks at Women Superstars Uncensored, next Tuesday night on this program will be former TNA Knockout and current WSU star Nikki Rocks. And we're very appreciative to have that. We do have some stuff working in the coming weeks. I'm not going to give anything away, but we're working on some Hall of Fame guests. Thanks to Jason Jedrich and Brad Dykens and their very large address book. It's way bigger than mine. We normally are joined by Mace, and he's graciously gives us time each week here, but he needed to focus on OTL for Wednesday night. He's working on the year-end special. But you guys have a regular normal show tomorrow night. Is that correct, sir?
No. We have a normal show tomorrow night, but there's only a few episodes left of OTL for the year, and that's all I'm going to say.
You can go play in the snow. I can't believe it's snowing where you are right now. I'm sitting in 70 degrees and loving it.
I can't. Probably going to end up plowing this week. It was supposed to snow the next, like, 4 days straight.
Ooh. Yeah, hell no.
It's supposed to snow the next 4 days straight. But I want to say this. Check out From Tapouts to Knockouts on iTunes, soon to be on Podcast Alley, and on the Wild Talk Radio Archive.
Oh, absolutely. And also, don't forget, Mace has Bashing the Books, which you can find on the the Wild Talk Radio area archive area, and that is a comic book geared event. And thanks for being here for all 22 hours of this show. How much money have we raised, Sir Rockin? I feel like I am raising money for the Peterson Cup, which you can go to fullimpactpro.com. You can get information if you even want to donate $1, $5, $10. The money is going to All Children's Hospital this year. Is there an Anything
yes.
Goes this Thursday?
More than likely there isn't Anything Goes at Wild Talk Radio Thursday night, 11-ish, I guess we'll call it, 11-ish, with Cindy Sin and myself and whoever she wrangles on to join her on the program.
And Friday night is Running the Ropes with Maverick and Nick. Is there a TD Top 20 this week?
That's on hiatus because of work situations with the trade-off. Yeah, there's a whole long story behind that one.
I'm sure for another podcast down the road. But normally following them would be you, would be Rob Parks, would be the Subway guy, and whoever else happens to be around in CB Radio.
Yeah, all of us. Me, Subway, Rob, Ace, Will, the girl down the street, the cousin who lives in the corner, and everyone else you can find. CB Radio, midnight-ish Eastern Time. Saturday.
And this Sunday, it's not 10 o'clock, it's 11 o'clock because we're all watching the pay-per-view that we just referenced. So after Final Resolution, Tim Stein, Mace, if he's done, Sir Rockin, are you going to join us Sunday?
I'll probably watch a little bit of the pay-per-view, but speaking of pay-per-views, this Saturday night, Alan, you going to watch the fights with us?
I'm going to be at night two of the Peterson Cup, man.
That's
so
right,
by the time I get in, yeah. And Peterson Cup, if you've never attended it, usually starts at 8 o'clock and goes right off the rails from there because they so try to keep to a track of time. And next thing you know, the 10-minute intermission has turned into 35 minutes, and you're like, oh, crap.
Yeah, no, there's two events going on this weekend. There's the UFC Ultimate Fighter 12 finale is this weekend, and then Strikeforce is holding an event the same night. So Mace and I are probably, well, I know we're going to be flipping back and forth.
Yeah, and if you'd like to make predictions on that event, find From Tap Outs to Knockouts on Facebook.
I was just getting to that.
Yeah,
he's a good segue. We appreciate that.
And speaking of picks, my buddy Saul, the Jewish booker, he owns a book over there in Long Island. He's coming on the show this week.
Oh, far out.
He's gonna join us. We're gonna make some picks on the fights and keep track of Saul's record and see what he does throughout the year.
Alrighty, on that note, I want to thank the Online World of Wrestling community for having us here each and every week. Thanks to, lots of names here, Ron Namey, Naftali, Lenny Leonard, The Anarchist Eric Cannon, Brad Allen, Christopher Gray, Grizzly Redwood, Lynn Serrato, we apologize for your cell phone not working, Spug's New Man Crush, Sammy Callahan, The Man Scout Jake Manning, Subway, the Spug Guy, Sir Rockin, and each and every one of you for joining us each and every week. Don't forget, next week, this time, Nikki Rocks of WSU will be joining us. Thanks to Rob Zombie for the genius that he is. And don't forget, next week is... I'm already welting up over this one because it's the first time I'm ever doing this. Next week is a musical tribute to the legacy of Dimebag Darrell Abbott. Spug will have some stories. I'll have a couple. And we're going to let White Zombie play us out here. I know you wanted Scum of the Earth, but we couldn't find it.
How could you not find Scum of the Earth?
Because it wasn't on his list.
Yeah. I didn't have it. I went because Hillbilly Deluxe was Jeff Peterson's favorite album to travel with. So that's why we chose it. And we went with some early stuff. So here's More Human Than Human, which is another awesome track from Rob Zombie. Don't forget, onlineworldofwrestling.com and wildtalkradio.com. We'll see you next week. Thanks for stopping by.